free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Monday, February the 17th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we're going to take a look at, I think, the next step in the war on cash. And we have not talked about what is really going on, the background moves by different banks. We've had Jamie Dimon, who was one of the most outspoken critics of Bitcoin. And that was when it had its big run-up prior to the point where they put it on a market where they could where they could blow it up because it's got a very small market cap. And so it's very easy for these large financial centers to be able to manipulate something when it's got such a small market cap. And but he was trash-talking it in the lead-up to putting it on a commodities exchange where it could be manipulated by the big movers and shakers. But also in the background, we have the world's central banks, the Bank of International Settlements, the Central Bank of Central Banks, all talking about how they want to have a cryptocurrency. And shortly after they crashed Bitcoin, you had Jamie Dimon reveal that his bank, JP Morgan, had their own cryptocurrency. And so we're going to lay that out for you, but we're also going to show you how we have a war on cash. Not only do we have the story that's on the Drudge Report over the weekend, another abuse of government power, absolutely unrestrained power that the government pretends that it can take anything from you at any time. They don't have to allege that you committed a crime. They don't have to charge you with a crime. They don't have to convict you of a crime. They can take whatever they want from you, any property that they want from you. They can take your cash. They can take your home, your car, anything. That's happening all over the country. Civil asset forfeiture. I'll never forget when Megyn Kelly was here, and I sat down with an interview for her when she was talking to Alex Jones. And she wanted to interview the staff, looking for sound bites that they could use. Well, I got a sound bite I can use from her when I mentioned civil asset forfeiture. It was deer in the headlights time. She just blank stare. What is that? It just made me want to... I don't know. I can't believe that somebody who holds himself forth as some kind of a news anchor knows absolutely nothing about civil asset forfeiture. And you know what else is even more shameful? The fact that they can steal your children using the same bureaucratic tricks. And they are tricks. They're tricks. Oh, we have these rules here. They're not laws. So because, you know, there are rules from a bureaucracy, whether it is the IRS or whether it's the DEA or whether it's customs, doesn't matter. You know, TSA, they've all got their rules. They pass their rules. You've got regulation without representation. And because there are rules, it's a civil case. They can do whatever they wish. And if you want to get your stuff back, if you want to get your cash back, you want to get your children back, you've got to sue them in civil court. Where you have no presumption of innocence, where you have to prove your innocence. That all began with the IRS, and now it's metastasized every single one of these bureaucracies. And so we have this new story that came out this week. And I'll remind you of the one that we had a couple weeks ago, a lady who had her father, who was elderly and kind of not 100% there, kind of like Joe Biden. And he had stashed, $80,000 worth of cash. He asked her to take it. Put it in a joint account, and she was running late, so she decides she'll do it when she gets back home. She checks to make sure this is okay with them, has an interview and so forth. They took the entire life savings of this family. And then we had the same thing done to a trucking company over the weekend. But folks, what they're doing now in China is they're using the coronavirus as a way to confiscate cash. Yeah, I was told by, well, we'll get into that when we come up. I had a white hat a security expert who talked to me about this very thing over a month ago. Now it's happening. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I have confirmed with high-level sources that President Trump is intending to either pardon Roger Stone after his sentencing or give him clemency, saying the conviction stands, but you now basically don't go to jail. Either way, this is incredibly good news. But let's not forget Julian Assange. That's one of the biggest black marks on Trump, is that he famously said, I don't know who got the emails. I don't know where they came from. The Russians, a fat dude in his mom's basement, whoever's got them, release them. It's about Hillary committing a crime, not who has the emails. Don't change the subject. Well, Julian Assange undoubtedly took Trump over the top. The WikiLeaks exposed the deep state. The man is a hero. Daniel Ellsberg was a hero. Well, Assange is even a bigger hero, and he's rotting in solitary confinement and at court hearings can barely talk. President Trump, do the right thing and ask the British to release Julian Assange and give him a medal.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Monday, February the 17th, year of our Lord 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to talk about the war on cash and a very interesting scenario that's playing out now in conjunction with the coronavirus quarantines and so forth in China. They're now confiscating cash, quarantining cash, in some cases for 2 weeks. In some cases, they're burning it. And they're putting out a lot of fear about handling cash into the society. We're going to talk about what's really behind that, and we're going to combine that with the civil asset forfeiture of the war on cash that is happening here in the United States and what the central banks are quietly doing behind the scenes as they prepare for the new financial system scaring everybody, fear, uncertainty, and doubt with what is going on with that. But first, we're going to take a victory lap. We had President Trump at the Daytona 500 yesterday, and Trump rides the beast. Should be the headline for this at Daytona 500, because he was actually in the presidential limousine that they call the Beast. And he took a lap as kind of a pace car at the Daytona 500 in the presidential limo. And I want to go to a clip from Fox Sports where they show this. Let's do video clip number one.
You know, Mike, people ask me, do you miss it? You know, are you jealous of those competitors out there today, right now? I am. I would love to be in this Daytona 500 field out there competing today. This is just so special.
All right, so that's there he is. You can see
now
the video of him.
At least 70 miles an hour is required.
At least 70. I thought it'd be even faster than that. It's a pretty steep bank.
Those presidential limousines, which are built on truck chassis, weigh about 22,000 pounds, will probably not be doing 70 through the 31-degree banking of turns 1 and 2.
22,000 pounds.
But, we'll stay down on the apron.
Now, you think when he finishes this lap, is he going to do a burnout? What kind of horsepower is underneath the hood of that car?
Well, Jeff, our Fox graphic department came up with a comparison between the NASCAR Cup cars and what Secret Service calls the Beast, the presidential limousine, built by Cadillac on a truck chassis with Cadillac sheet metal. It's 2 feet longer than the Cup car.
Yeah, 22,000 pounds versus about 3,500 pounds for their Cup car.
Horsepower and top speed is sufficient, but unknown. It's been estimated that those side windows are 5 inches thick of bulletproof glass, and that the sheet metal is some 8 inches thick as it's fully armored. And, of course, seating capacity 7 for the limo and 1 for our Cup cars.
Only thing I wish they had modified on that limo is put a spoiler on that roof deck.
Well, that's one thing they don't need. They probably got, you know, all the James Bond stuff, oil slicks, smoke screens, machine guns, and so forth. They got 5-inch thick windows on it, nevertheless, and 22,000 pounds. That's pretty heavy for a car, isn't it? You know, it's, you look at those, the banking that's there. I really would have liked to have seen it go up there on the bank. I bet it could easily do that. I mean, they're saying it's only 70 miles an hour. We've been told it depends on the radius of the turn, but, I took my family, in a Previa van onto the Charlotte Motor Speedway once. And we did not take the upper banking there. We were not going that fast. It was part, they'd opened it up for a Christmas program. And so we're able to actually drive on the track. And it's amazing when you look at a 24 degree banking, like they've got on those turns. And you gotta get pretty fast, or you will not make it. It'll roll you down the hill. But I imagine those drivers could probably handle it. They probably could do a Rockford in the presidential beast. And so after that, President Trump got out and he was the grand marshal. This is the only the second president. President Trump is only the second president to actually attend the Daytona 500. George W. Bush did it back in 2004. But President Trump is the grand marshal, which means that he gives the command for drivers to start their engines. Kind of like he started the engine of the economy. and so at that point, when he gives the command, all of the drivers do a tax cut. But I'll play a little bit of him coming up to the cheers that he had there. And let's play video clip number three.
Chip, thank you very much. And my fellow race fans, there is no greater thrill than to join you at the World Center of Racing for the 62nd Daytona 500. So exciting. The Daytona 500 is a legendary display of roaring engines, soaring spirits of the American skill, speed, and power that we've been hearing about for so many years. The tens of thousands of patriots here today have come for the fast cars and the world-class motorsports. But NASCAR fans never forget that no matter who wins the race, what matters most is God, family, and country.
That's right. That's right. But of course, we have Democrats who, don't want us to win that race. They basically want to cut the gas, as we have a race to the bottom with the Democrats. As a matter of fact, a good example of this is, and I've talked about this, magazine that I really, well, it's not a magazine anymore. It's an online magazine, Jalopnik. They're a BuzzFeed, publication. And think about what you would have if you had a bunch of leftists who hate cars, do a news site about cars. It's actually pretty amazing to look at it. So I do go there pretty often just because I see things like this. Trump's attempt to roll back fuel economy standards continues to blow up in his face, and they're happy about that because they don't want you to have a car. They don't want you to be able to afford a car. They don't want any cars that burn gasoline because they've decided that you're all going to run electricity. But then, of course, Bernie, their hero, is going to take over the national energy grid, and you won't have any electricity for your electric cars either because it's going to be run by a community organizer, socialist communist. He doesn't know how to run anything, folks. The Trump administration, as Jalopnik puts it, formally proposed rolling back Obama-era fuel economy standards in August of 2018. But two new reports suggest that the rollback may not end up happening at all. This was a way to make cars cheaper for the consumers, reports Jalopnik. But we don't want that, right? We want expensive cars, so you can't have one. You know, a few people can have them, and that's the only people that should be able, you know, people can afford private jets today. They'll be able to have cars in the future, but the rest of us will be on the sidewalk. Sidewalk Labs from Google. Your gulag smart cities in progress. And so they say, you know, increasing the economy standards could make new cars more expensive. That was the purpose of Obama. He wanted to run it up to over 50 miles per gallon requirement for all cars on average. The Trump administration and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration have persisted with their argument, but they're being fought by people in the EPA now that they've been able to drive out the person that he put in the EPA who supported President Trump's agenda. The New York Times puts it this way. They're very proud of the fact that we have a bureaucratic red tape that is tying President Trump's hands on this. The skeleton crew, writes the New York Times, the skeleton crew of inexperienced political appointees who are heading the drafting process might not be up to a job that would usually be handled by career federal workers with decades of expertise. The draft rule lacks two technical documents that experts say would be essential to defending it in court. See, we have to appeal to the court. Well, if you want to defend something in court, why don't you defend the idea that the president has the power by executive order to tell us what we can drive and what our fuel economy is? Where is that in the Constitution? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. You defend that. Why do we have to be put on defense? Why do we have to defend doing something that is constitutional? Basically, just get rid of the EPA. It's put in there by Nixon. We didn't have it for 200 years. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There's roughly only 260 days left until the 2020 election, and already you've seen all sorts of crazy things happen. The globalists are trying to plunge the economy. They're trying to start wars. They're trying to overthrow the president. They're trying to silence free speech. They're trying to trigger riots in the streets. But everything they do is blowing up in their face. We the people have to pray, stay focused, be involved, keep spreading the word, keep countering their lies, and we have to be prepared in case things go south. That's why it's so critical to go to InfoWarsStore.com and stock up on high-quality preparedness items, from storable foods, high-quality water filtration and air filtration, to the very best supplements and silver products you're going to find. They're all available at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase there not only ensures high-quality products for you and your family at great prices, but it funds the InfoWar in this critical time. A total, complete, absolute 360 win. Every point of the compass is covered. The only way we can be defeated is if you don't take action. Get high-quality products at InfoWarsStore.com today. Almost all the other big storable food companies are sold out of food. But I know for a fact from sources they're telling people, oh, we've got it, get your order in, 2 weeks for delivery. We follow this pattern over and over again. I've been on radio for 25 years. I've had storable food for a long time. And I learned very quickly, a lot of these companies, they're fine during normal times. But during a crisis, they don't keep a bunch of food on hand because of inventory. They'll still take your orders. That's why about 11 years ago, I found My Patriot Supply, now the biggest, most trusted company out there. And I became a private labeler for them because they actually have it on hand. They actually give it delivered to you on time. They do what they're going to say they're going to do because they want you as a customer over and over again. And they're good people. Now, they were saying 7 to 10 days before shipping because they've got the food, but they got to package it, record level orders. Now it's 10 to 14 because it's only intensifying with the coronavirus. So get your orders in at InfoWarsStore.com, get the best deals, get it delivered first. They're in our system. It goes right to them. Then it funds the InfoWar as well. So get prepared, InfoWarsStore.com with storable foods.
I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spent a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. This should really be easier than it is. I'm not here giving you a sales pitch. I'm pointing out the way forward, things that I've discovered that I absolutely know work, that if you will listen to me and try them out for yourself, you will see how amazing it is. And then your support of the product we're selling will help you and will help us, and it's symbiotic. My friends, I harp and harp and harp about iodine because it's the good halogen, fluoride's the bad halogen. And people told me about it for years, and I didn't listen, and I'm so thankful that finally I listened to Dr. Grip like 8 years ago and started taking true iodine, atomic iodine. We've got it back in stock, X2, 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm telling you, folks, get it. It's amazing. Discover the benefits, and it funds the InfoWar, a 360 win. You can't lose unless you don't take action.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's take a look at what's going on with this fight about the corporate average fuel economy. Now, this may sound like something that is esoteric, but it really is going to be, it's going to be the way that they are going to ban without just coming out with a fiat. You can't have a car anymore. And they're doing that across Europe. They're banning them from cities, left and right. And in California, they've already started doing it in certain streets, San Francisco. But that's not really going to fly in the U.S. What they're going to do is they're going to make cars prohibitively expensive. People aren't going to understand what happened. So they're going to do it by stealth. They're going to do it by regulation. They're going to do it by the back door because they don't want to just come out and say you can't have a car anymore, which is really what Obama and the bureaucracy is doing. And I want to just finish up with this and then get into what the Chinese government is doing in terms of the war on cash and paper, and how that ties in to the long-term plans of bankers. That's right, bankers and the U.S. government. So we're going to take a look at what's going on, the end game with some of these pandemics. But first, let's finish up with this corporate average fuel economy, because it shows us how the government works, and it shows us how they have tied President Trump's hands in so many different areas. Trump knew that we have to get rid of this corporate average fuel economy. It is the underlying thing that is going to ban cars. And so they took on the Obama rule that was going to require more than 50 miles per gallon corporate average fuel economy just a couple of years. And yet you've got the New York Times bragging about the fact that you got political appointees of President Trump. In other words, people who actually share his agenda. And they're being blocked by the career bureaucrats because you've got the bureaucracy rubbing their hands in anticipation. Oh, yes, look, we got him now. Because we've got these rules. We're going to challenge this in court, and you're going to have two documents, and you're going to have them by the first week in March. And you don't have time to put these documents together, I don't think. The draft rule lacks two technical documents, gloats the New York Times, that experts say would be essential to defending it in court. By law, any major new policy affecting the environment requires an environmental impact statement, but no such document has been completed or sent to the White House, according to the people who viewed the draft. Those people say the draft rule also lacks what is known as regulatory impact analysis. And so they say it typically takes months to believe. Maybe you think, gloats Jalopnik, maybe you think it's possible for the skeleton crew to still somehow get all this stuff done before March 30th. When the fuel economy standards for the vehicles built in 2022 must be established. But we don't. We got them, right? There we go. Gotcha. Plain gotcha. Because we got multiple reports that you haven't filed, and we're going to sue you in court. We're going to tie this up. Yeah, this is the Byzantine red tape that the bureaucracy is using to essentially destroy our society. These are the emissions of pettifogging bureaucrats. Tying you up in the details, and nobody ever calls them on their bluff. Where do you get the authority to do any of this stuff? Where does Obama get the authority, by executive order or by his bureaucratic subordinates, to say, you can't have cars anymore? You're going to have average fuel economy. It's going to have to be, let's see, well, 50. They won't be able to make that in time. 50. And if you don't make it, can't have a car. They just do that, just like he did that with the DACA regulations, right? The Dreamer stuff. Yeah, it's not really a Dreamer Act. They had multiple Dream Acts. They never passed through Congress. So you just had the Obama administration, his Homeland Security Secretary, say, well, we're not going to enforce the law. Deferred action on childhood arrivals, including people up to 30-some-odd years old. We're just not going to enforce the law. How about that? And when they say, we're not going to enforce the law, and President Trump comes in, his administration says, we are going to enforce the law. The courts say, you can't do that. The courts say, you can't enforce the law. You can't overturn the previous president's executive order. Why? Not because it makes any legal sense. It's like what they're doing to Roger Stone and General Flynn. We got to start calling their combined cases the Flintstones because we've got some bedrock legal principles here that are being reduced to rubble. Reduced to rubble. So we're going to take a look at that. Coming up in the program, we had Richard Proctor on to talk about the Constitution on Friday. We have him on every couple of weeks. And we missed the last segment where we wanted to tie stuff together. So I wanted to get him back to talk about that. And we're going to talk about the fact that these people are crowing. They've got a March 30th deadline. And the people who want to get rid of Obama's regulations haven't done all their paperwork. They got a little bit more red tape they got to do, and I don't think they can make that deadline. Well, you know, deadlines don't really seem to matter to these people when it comes to their stuff, because we had a deadline for the Equal Rights Amendment that was 1982, and yet we just saw the Virginia Democrats run through and say, now we're on board with the ERA, right? Well, you know, you're only about 40 years late. But, you know, what's 40 years among Democrats? That deadline doesn't matter, but they're saying, you know, we got this March 30th deadline for two reports. You're not going to be able to make that. So we'll talk about the process and whether or not this revived effort by the Virginia Democrats to try to ram through the ERA. You probably don't even remember what the ERA was about, do you? I don't really. I remember the big fight about it. And again, that was 40 years ago. It was 1972 that they began the process to put in an amendment, the Equal Rights Amendment, which was radical feminism and quotas and so forth. That's all you need to know. Quite frankly, you look at the Equality Act that the Democrats in the U.S. House have run through, and that's probably even more damaging than the ERA that we all fought 40, 50 years ago. But it was 1972, and typically these amendments, since the 18th Amendment, since the amendment to prohibit alcohol began, since that time, they have put a 7-year limit on the time that it takes to put an amendment, to get an amendment approved. And with the ERA, they actually extended it by another 3 years. So they gave it 10 years and it still didn't make it. It was still 3 states short. Now, in the interim, you know, after that deadline expired in 1982, they've had another 3 states join, say, we've approved the ERA. And now we think that ought to be recognized as a constitutional amendment, even though the deadline expired 38 years ago. No problem for the Democrats, but don't you miss by a minute the deadline for rolling back Obama's fuel mandates, fuel economy mandates. I want to talk about, and this is the title of the program, and I hadn't got to it yet because I wanted to talk about President Trump, NASCAR, America, victory, performance, all these different things. That really, to me, that kind of summed up all those different aspects of the Trump administration. And the fact that the Democrats can't even figure who came across the finish line first in Iowa. They still don't know. Everybody got the victory flag in Iowa. But when we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on in China with currency, They're now quarantining paper currency. And let me tell you, this is the beginning of something that's really big. There's been a war on cash here in the United States, not just civil asset forfeiture, but also behind the scenes, what the central banks are doing across the globe and the central bank of central banks, the Bank for International Settlements. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
With the daily wear and tear of the environment on our skin, it's only natural that it starts to crack and take damage. Wind, heat, water, and age are telltale signs that it's time to start taking care of your skin. With the InfraWars Super Silver Cream, you can keep your skin feeling silky smooth and begin to heal the damages of the world around you. Created with ingredients like coconut oil, vitamin E, and the incredible Silver Sol formula, InfraWars Silver Cream works triple duty, supporting the beautifying and protecting of the skin in a fast, non-greasy formula. Small and easily stored, it can support dry and damaged skin to reduce fine lines and wrinkles, while smoothing and softening calluses. With none of the harmful ingredients found in other formulas, you can be sure this Silver Cream is hard at work, promoting the healing of your skin. Don't miss out on the new Silver Sol powered can't miss formula. Get the InfoWars Super Silver Cream today.
Cobra Commander here, reminding you to not own firearms, to not take supplements, to not get sunshine, and to not love Jesus. And, of course, do not get storable foods or any other types of colloidal or nanosilver at InfoWarsStore.com. Do not do it. Trust CNN. Trust MSNBC. Drink fluoridated water just like the loving kiss of a king cobra pumping deadly, loving, helpful nutrients into your body. Hug the cobra. Love the cobra. Kiss the cobra. But never, never go to InfoWars.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Do not order those products. Silence Jones now.
Allergies, dander, asthma, germs, toxins. There are many reasons why we need to think about what is really in the air around us. We may not be able to stop breathing, but we can control what's in the air we breathe. The revolutionary Alexa Pure Breeze air filtration system is a powerful ally in the fight against the dangerous toxins and viruses in the air. Powerful, quiet, and effective, the Breeze uses a four-step purification process to help you breathe easier and cleaner. Similar systems could cost hundreds to even thousands of dollars, but the Alexa Pure Breeze air purification is the best and most affordable, bar none. The Breeze and the Ion Cluster patented technology used in the system eliminate up to 99.97% of airborne contaminants. Get the Alexa Pure Breeze today and save big on a world-class air filtration system for your home. Don't keep breathing toxic or dangerous air. Get this special today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Well, it's finally happening. The president is coming out and saying the deep state are a bunch of out-of-control criminals that need to be prosecuted, and he has fired over 200 senior bureaucrats in the State Department and the Justice Department in just the last few days. And he took the head prosecutor over Stone and offered her a job at Treasury. As soon as she quit that job, he then withdrew the nomination, and now she's out on her globalist ass. This is beautiful. It's happening, but we need to see a lot more. All the neocons need to be fired. All the Obama appointees, fired. All the deep state globalists who have resumes with George Soros, fired, 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 fired. Trump is finally unleashed. Trump is not the red wave. He is the red storm. And InfoWars is the tip of the spear, powered by we the people, never backing down, never giving in, and delivering victory in our time.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to talk about how the coronavirus is resulting in the confiscation of paper. First, they're coming after the toilet paper. It's actually begun. And it's created shortages. And so even in Hong Kong, you have a group of armed thieves stealing a truckload of toilet paper in Hong Kong because they've got a basic shortage of goods. It's getting as bad as Venezuelan socialism because of the shutdown of the economy, the quarantining of the economy. As they point out, you've now got truckloads of toilet paper being hijacked. Because, you know, anything can become extremely valuable, basic commodities like that. But the police think they've got these guys. They're going to be able to follow the paper trail to get the toilet paper thieves there. I just don't want to be the one to follow that particular paper trail. But in a more serious note, what the Chinese banks are doing is they're quarantining cash. They're destroying what they call dirty money. And let me just tell you, our governments across the world, around the world, all believe that all cash is dirty. Why? Well, because it's anonymous, right? You must not have any kind of privacy or anonymity. So that must be destroyed, which means that the cash must be destroyed. And now we've got a reason to do it. Listen to the reason that they're putting out here. This is coming from nationalinterest.org via Zero Hedge. I said, now even inanimate objects must be quarantined, paper currency specifically in China. They said currency deposited at banks must be disinfected with ultraviolet light and then held for a week or longer before being released back into the wilds of the economy. The Chinese central bank will provide new bills worth 600 billion yuan to banks, and some of the currency will be destroyed. One teller says, when I'm at work, I realize that cash is the dirtiest thing in the world. Not only is it dirty, but it is the stuff that criminals use, right? Because that's what they tell us here in the United States. I mean, you know, $180,000 confiscated at the, you know, from one trucking company, and $80,000 from life savings of another elderly man confiscated again at the airport. Why? Well, because you got cash. You're a criminal, right? And let me say to you that if there's something in you that wells up to say, well, why has he got that much cash? Why are they going to buy trucks with $180,000? Why would they do that in cash? Are they up to something? Well, congratulations. You've been brainwashed by the mainstream media and the government to think that the mere possession of cash indicates that you're up to no good. No, it indicates that there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with it. It's the criminalization of cash, and it insinuates itself into society in a very subtle way. But you've also got the media pushing this out there. Now they've got another ally in this, the coronavirus. So they said a 2002 study of American $1 bills found bacteria on over 90%. Do you think there's bacteria on everything? Everything? I mean, they were confiscating cash a couple of decades ago with a justification. Well, you know, most of the cash bills out here are contaminated with cocaine. Yeah, we can find trace amounts of cocaine on these dollar bills. So I think we're just going to have to get that dirty cash. Now it's bacteria. Because, you know, the underlying justification for tyranny has to change from time to time. People get a little bit tired of hearing the usual lies, and so they got to come up with a more novel lie. A Swiss study found that the flu virus can survive between a few days and 2 weeks on Swiss francs. And you thought they needed Swiss cheese to survive. Richard Ron, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute, hopes that paper currency will soon disappear. It's just too dirty. It's not healthy for you. Yeah, that's right. In China, it's already on its way to extinction. According to a New York-based online commerce research firm, China leads the world by far in mobile payment, with 81% adoption by smartphone users in 2020. Measured as a proportion of total population, China also leads the world with 35% of the people in 2019 using mobile payment, using their smartphones to pay for goods, right? Don't even want to have those filthy plastic credit cards. I bet, you know, 80 or 90% of those plastic credit cards have got bacteria on them too. Wouldn't you think? Those who do not use their smartphones are disproportionately the elderly. And the elderly are always more likely to have compromised immune systems and less likely to survive serious illness. And during the spring festival period, the elderly also customarily give cash in red packets to young children who are also at greater risk from sickness. There you go. You just pass this on from the elderly to the very young, and everybody gets sick and dies because of coronavirus everywhere, right? This is the new fear, uncertainty, doubt, panic that's being sold about it. When I paid my cab driver a few days ago, writes the author of this, he asked me why I couldn't pay by phone since cash is so dirty. I explained I didn't have a signal on my carrier. So the majority of Chinese who prefer mobile payment would point out that they think it's more convenient and that it also cannot be stolen. That means that they don't really understand how this works. It's even easier to have your pocket picked if it's electronic. Even your credit card. I mean, people can hack that stuff electronic. Anyway, coronavirus only adds another reason to avoid paper currency. In an online survey, they said 70% of 20,000 respondents said that they will not use cash. They've gotten the message. They've been scared by the Chinese government into not using cash because it's dirty. It could get them sick. Some Weibo users were confused about the need to keep the money out of circulation for up to 14 days in the most serious regions. One quipped, "Why does the cash have to be quarantined for 14 days after it's been disinfected? Do they fear that it will have a fever?" So this is where this is going. But what I find interesting about this is I had a white hat cybersecurity expert who will send me information from time to time anonymously. Because he is on the inside of a lot of these war games. He sent me some stuff like January 23rd to 27th, about 3 weeks ago, I guess. And he said, imagine an official government office releasing an official press release stating that all their citizens not handle any Chinese yuans because it's a primary means of this pandemic and to help to curtail the spread of the virus. And so just stop using that paper currency in China. He said, with the way the media is, this would instantly be global news, and within a day, you couldn't give away these Chinese currency notes. Now, couple that to shutting down city and travel in China's cities. Can you imagine the state of their economy within 24 hours, especially if the Chinese nationals living there fear their currency? He says, I'm just surprised that no one has run the currency as the primary medium spreading a pandemic. Well, now they are. How about that? As a matter of fact, he told me that was part of the war games for Dark Winter version 2. Hey, here's how we can, confiscate cash. We can spread more fear, uncertainty, and doubt. We can collapse an economy of another government. We can just say, hey, I think their currency is, they got a pandemic going on. They got an epidemic going on, and we don't want this to become a pandemic. So we're going to basically ban their paper currency because it's dirty. If you want to send the economy into a death spiral, issue an official government warning that currency is now a virus and currency must be burned or people must stop using it immediately due to health concerns. He goes on to say, I know a lady that once worked for iDARPA. She suggested that I contact you about Dark Biolabs, but she absolutely refused to come on and talk to me. No, I'm not going to do that. She said, basically, the Intel black hats have designed, in their scenario, design a front company. They hire a stooge for a CEO. They set up a dark, rather sketchy, not so secure research lab in the U.S. If anything goes wrong, the CEO, stooge, is thrown under the bus. The company collapses and another one takes its place. But she said even the official labs are not very secure. They don't pay much attention to the laws. Who polices the laws on the book? Who polices the government? Nobody cares. And we'll talk about that. Coming up in China as a good example of that. These people are new to it, and they don't have a lot of oversight, do they, in Chinese communists? There's a new way to show your support for the InfoWars crew at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, when you buy your favorite products, you can add a donation right at the checkout. Simply open the donation option and either select a preset amount or enter a custom amount. With this brand new donation module, donating to support the InfoWars crew has never been easier. You asked, we delivered. This easy option gives you the means to donate directly to the cause. Remember, we're all part of the fight. InfoWars, brought to you by you.
Since the beginning, Secret 12 has been one of our most popular formulas. Now we're bringing you an all-new version of your favorite formula to help you reach your energy peak. Ultra 12 from InfoWars Life takes advantage of the most effective and expensive form of B12 available, methylcobalamin, to provide you with twice the B12. Ultra 12 can help make DNA, support the body's energy production, and help produce healthy blood cells while assisting proper nervous system function. Help support your energy levels and take advantage of the superior form of B12 today with Ultra 12.
All right, folks, here's the bad news. We've already sold out of the 16-ounce immune gargle with the patented nanotech silver that's documented to knock out viruses and bacteria unlike anything else. But we do still have it in the 3-ounce and the 1-ounce for limited time. The good news is we have the Super Blue Toothpaste and the Super Silver Toothpaste, both that have the nano silver in them as well. The Super Blue has tea tree that's also antiviral and antibacterial and high-quality iodine. And then, of course, the whitening has the nano silver, but on top of that, it has the above sea coral calcium that remineralizes the teeth. And so it's just the best toothpaste you're going to find, period. It has the nano silver, and we still have supplies of it, though it'll sell out at current rates in about 2 weeks. But despite that, I'm keeping it at sale at 50% off so everybody can protect themselves with this high-quality product. If you've never used it before, get yours today. InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWarsStore.com.
There's a lot of phony garbage out there in the world. A lot of people that never deliver. Well, I'm here to tell you, InfoWars has delivered in royal flush, in a handful of Ace of Spades, because of God, because of the audience of activists, and because of the great team at InfoWars. And we are all a team, ladies and gentlemen. So right now, humanity's awakening. It's explosive. It's powerful. It's incredible. But there's major obstacles coming down the road, and the only way we can effectively fight the NWO and stay in the game, like InfoWars is, the tip of the spear, is your financial support. We make it really easy at InfoWarsStore.com. But I am blowing through our backup money right now with our reporters doing triple the work they ever have because they volunteered to do it. And Owen and the rest of the crew will fight 18 hours a day, 7 days a week during this election year that's so critical, but they need the financing to put them in the field. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and fight for your own future.
3 weeks ago, we told you that the Pentagon had set up secret quarantine centers for the coronavirus and that they believed it was much more serious than we were being told. Now we know that that is the case. And we know the federal government and major corporations have been buying up all the major storable food supplies around the country. Almost everyone else is sold out. But our supplier, My Patriot, at InfoWarsStore.com, still has their entire line of high-quality, fresh food. And it's fresh. That's why you have to wait 10 to 14 days for it to get delivered. Not because they don't have the food, but because they've got to package it and their factories are going 24 hours a day. High quality, fresh food, the best package systems, tastes great, protects you and your family, and funds the InfoWar. You just got to get the orders in until they extend it out even more, which could happen. Lock in your orders now, ensure you get it at InfoWarsStore.com today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just talking about the scenario that's been discussed within government circles. I told you that, told that anonymously by somebody who in on these war games that they do with biological warfare, biological weapons. You know, this stuff could actually get out by accident or deliberately, and we could have a front company, and we could blame it on them and just throw them under the bus and shut them down. But, you know, hey, it just doesn't have anything to do with us. We didn't do that deliberately. It's not a theory that this stuff can get out. It's an inevitability. And it already has. I mean, just take a look at the Lyme disease situations that we've had and, you know, many others as well. But let's talk about the money aspect of this. As you've got the Chinese government now saying, we're going to quarantine cash. We're going to expose it to UV light to kill the virus. And then we're going to still keep it for another 2 weeks. Some of it we might even burn after we do that. And they're now using that to tell everybody how dirty cash is, how you don't want to touch this stuff. You just want to pay everything electronically because that's safer, right? Nobody can steal your money if it's all electronic. They actually put that out. Just like nobody can steal an election if all the voting is electronic, right? These idiots that are getting ready to do the, they call them Democrats, the idiot party, the idiocracy. They're getting ready to do another caucus in Nevada. And although they got rid of the Booty Gay Shadow app, they're still using Google because they said they need to have this online web tools from Google to handle the complicated math. The complicated math. Yes, addition is complicated for the party of occasional cortex. I mean, if they're going to do percentages, they've actually even got to do division. Ooh, can't handle that. And I guess all of their pocket calculators have been misplaced. So they've got to have online tools to do this. Can't do it with paper. Can't do it because, mentally, they can't handle the complicated math. And so these are the people who think that stuff is more secure when you put it on a computer, like your money. So let's talk about the goal for a cashless monetary system and how this is being implemented by the banking elite. This is an article by Stephen Guinness on Zero Hedge. And it gives you a little bit of background. Go back about 6 years. Back in 2014, the Bank of England became the first central bank to publish research on digital currencies through their quarterly bulletin. They said the key innovation of digital currencies is the so-called distributed ledger, quote unquote, which allows a payment system to operate in an entirely decentralized way without intermediaries such as banks, except as you're going to find out, the banks are going to be the ones controlling that as well. They're not going to cut themselves out of the loop. an area of interest that has gotten scant attention is the, quote, utility settlement coin, abbreviated USC. They talk about this so frequently that they have a three-letter acronym for it, USC. It's the USC project that several global banks have been heavily invested in. It's a consortium of shareholders that includes UBS, the Swiss bank that's been involved in a lot of shady deals, Barclays, and Lloyd's Banking Group. Back in 2015, September specifically, a partnership consisting of the Swiss bank UBS and UK-based blockchain firm Clearmatics. That kind of sounds like Smartmatics, the people who did the voting for Hugo Chavez, you know, the first electronic voting, let him keep himself in office perpetually, that rigged elections throughout Central and South America as well as the Philippines. So now they've got this same, for coins, they call it Clearmatics, and they will be doing the processing of transactions. So they announced in partnership with UBS that they officially launched the concept of a utility settlement coin, USC. As detailed by Bitcoin Magazine, USC would be utilized for post-trade settlements between financial institutions on private financial platforms that would be built on blockchain technology. It would operate using a permissioned blockchain network, meaning access to the network must be granted by participants. This is in contrast to Bitcoin, where you have a permissionless network that anyone can access. This is kind of, you know, similar to what Zuckerberg was trying to set up with Libra. As a matter of fact, it's got a lot of elements, Libra does, of what the central banks are working on. They didn't like him infringing on their territory. Not even Mark Zuckerberg is allowed to do that just yet. So we'll talk about what these big banks have been working on for 6 years. So that's 2015. After they put out the blueprint in 2014, they started implementing it. 2015, just a couple. USC and Clearmatics. 2016, a year later, USC is joined by Santander, Bank of New York Mellon, Deutsche Bank, all issued press releases to confirm that they've gone into partnership with UBS and Clearmatics to develop the USC, the utility settlement coin. Another year goes by, 2017, exactly 12 months after all those banks joined. More banks came on board. Barclays, Credit Suisse, HSBC, Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, Mitsubishi Financial Group, and State Street. As he writes, it may well inform the way central banks choose to, this is what UBS at the time, it may well inform the way central banks choose to move things forward. We see it as a stepping stone to a future where central banks issue their own cryptocurrency at some point. In September 2017, the Bank of International Settlements, or the Bank for International Settlements, the Central Bank of Central Banks, issued their quarterly review that contained a section titled Central Bank Cryptocurrencies. Then 2019, with the USC project progressing, in February 2019, J.P. Morgan announced that they had become the first U.S. bank to create and test a digital coin known as JPM Coin. They did this after, I believe, the big banks and money interests had crashed Bitcoin. Jamie Dimon, or Demon, depending on both of those pronunciations fit him, been trashing. He'd been the individual trashing Bitcoin more than anybody else. And then when it started trading, it didn't last very long because it had a small market, relatively small market cap, something easily manipulated, by, many, many people, especially if they're all working together. But so then he, after that crashes in January or February, it crashed, December, January, February, he comes out, hey, I've got one now. It was bad, but now I've got one. He characterized it as a stable coin. This is what we heard about Libra as well, right? The thing that was put out by Mark Zuckerberg. Stable coin is something that's going to be done with a basket of currencies, not one particular currency. So that's going to make it stable, right? So if you take a bunch of unstable fiat currencies and you put them in a basket, now it suddenly becomes stable. A few months later, the first soundings began to emerge of the utility settlement coin entering a new phase of development. And in May of last year, Reuters reported that some of the largest banks in the world were in the process of investing up to $50 million, chump change, for them to create digital system using blockchain technology to settle financial transactions. And I find it a bit ominous that the name they gave this is Finality International. Yeah, we're at the end game here. We've created this thing called Finality International, and the Bank of International Settlements, or the Bank for International Settlements, has had two conferences this last fall, September, then in October, to push this. And Stephen Guinness writes, as I've written about before, the Bank for International Settlement is central to the agenda of digitizing money at the expense of tangible assets. Why? Because tangible assets are private. They are anonymous. And if you want to centrally control everybody and everything, you have to have the, you have to remove cash. And that's exactly what they're doing now in China with the coronavirus. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of developments about the coronavirus itself. We'll also talk about the geopolitics of bioweapons and what's going on with this new vault that has been created up in Norway. This is something else to take a look at, the GM seed, non-GM seed vaults. This is the heritage seeds. But folks, if you want to prepare for, there's a lot of things that can happen. I mean, as you look at all these contingencies, all these uncertainties, I mean, these people are doing everything they can to make you dependent on them. I mean, even when we look at our supply of medicine, people are sounding the alarm, talking about the high percentage of our medicine that we get from China. 80% of active pharmaceutical ingredients that are needed for even domestic drug production come from China. 97% of all antibiotics come from China. What if they shut it down? What if it's dirty? I mean, you're worried about cash? Are you worried about that? Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because, folks, now you need to start thinking seriously about prepping if you haven't done so. We have our emergency survival foods that, again, big demand is making it, the timeline's getting out on that, but we still have availability from My Patriot Supply. Take a look at the other items that we have there in terms of preparing your own body, you know, the immune defense that we have, the immune gargle, 3.4 and 1 ounce bottles are now 40% off. That has nano silver in it. InfoWarsStore.com.
Almost all the other big storable food companies are sold out of food. But I know for a fact from sources, they're telling people, oh, we've got it. Get your order in 2 weeks for delivery. We follow this pattern over and over again. I've been on radio for 25 years. I've had storable food for a long time. And I learned very quickly that a lot of these companies, they're fine during normal times. But during a crisis, they don't keep a bunch of food on hand because of inventory. They'll still take your orders. That's why about 11 years ago, I found My Patriot Supply, now the biggest, most trusted company out there. And I became a private labeler for them because they actually have it on hand. They actually give it delivered to you on time. They do what they're going to say they're going to do because they want you as a customer over and over again. And they're good people. Now, they were saying 7 to 10 days before shipping because they've got the food, but they got to package it record level orders. Now it's 10 to 14 because it's only intensifying with the coronavirus. So get your orders in at InfoWarsStore.com. Get the best deals. Get it delivered first. They're in our system. It goes right to them. Then it funds the InfoWar as well. So get prepared. InfoWarsStore.com with storable foods.
There's roughly only 260 days left until the 2020 election, and already you've seen all sorts of crazy things happen. The globalists are trying to plunge the economy. They're trying to start wars. They're trying to overthrow the president. They're trying to silence free speech. They're trying to trigger riots in the streets, but everything they do is blowing up in their face. We the people have to pray, stay focused, be involved, keep spreading the word, keep countering their lies, and we have to be prepared in case things go south. That's why it's so critical to go to InfoWarsStore.com and stock up on high-quality preparedness items, from storable foods, high-quality water filtration and air filtration, to the very best supplements and silver products you're going to find. They're all available at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase there not only ensures high-quality products for you and your family at great prices, but it funds the InfoWar in this critical time. A total, complete, absolute 360 win. Every point of the compass is covered. The only way we can be defeated is if you don't take action. Get high-quality products at InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking about the risk of bioweapons, the leakage, or the deliberate biowarfare of letting this leak out undercover and then creating a panic so that they can do things like confiscate currency. And now we have this happening in China. They're saying, yeah, you know, look at how dirty that cash is. You really don't want to have anything physical like that. You need to digitize everything. We need to go to a cashless society. And already, you know, everybody except for the very young and the very old, they've already moved over. China's already adopted that. So now they've got to scare the elderly. They've got to scare people by saying, you know, the elderly, they like to give cash to young kids, and they're both very susceptible. So maybe we just need to confiscate all that stuff. Been forecast. I was told this many, many months, even before the coronavirus. I was told this by a cybersecurity expert who was in on these schemes. And just as I laid out for you, this is something that the central banks have been planning for 6 years, a transition to a cashless society. We have the criminalization of having cash here in the United States, as we've seen. Multiple reports. Every week there's a news story in the media about somebody losing their life savings or losing all the money that the company has accumulated to buy assets. And they're not saying... In most cases, they're not saying, well, this is wrong. They're saying, why do these people have cash? I mean, you know, are they up to something? Are they up to no good? Nobody's really still talking about civil asset forfeiture and why can the government confiscate and steal stuff. I mean, you've got the government literally stealing this. So we'll talk about that briefly coming up in the next segment. I want to get into the Democrats, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Buttigieg. And his, what he's trying to hide, he's very upfront about his identity politics, being a spokesperson or an example of LGBT tolerance. You know, you should show how tolerant you are to the LGBT agenda by voting for Buttigieg. But there's another aspect that he's keeping hidden. Actually, two aspects. One of them is his deep Marxist bent. And also, I think, his ties to the CIA. But we'll be talking about that coming up as well. I want to talk in this segment here briefly about the geopolitics of biological weapons. This is an article from Global Research. Population control versus the doomsday vault. They point out that genetically modified seed was conceived, promoted, researched, and funded by the U.S. Department of Defense. You know, kind of like driverless cars, kind of like the internet itself, kind of like social media. All these things began as DARPA projects, and they helped to fund them. So with a track record like that, why should we be concerned about genetically modified food? GM seed was never meant as a way to feed the hungry, but was instead conceived and developed as a weapon, or more precisely, as a weapons delivery system. Genetically modified seed was never intended to support human life, but to eliminate it. GM seed is neither more productive nor healthier than traditional heritage crops. It is far more expensive and destructive, but it presents almost irresistible military advantages against any nation that becomes dependent on this source of food grain. One is that the U.S. can use it as a political weapon, refusing to supply seed to a disfavored nation, perhaps causing widespread famine and dislocation. The other is more sinister, in that many groups have experimented with gene splicing technology, inserting unrelated DNA into various seeds. Now, before we go into that, let me just add to this and say, how does this work when you can withhold food and starve a nation like that? Well, we've already seen this happen in India. You have massive, I've reported on this 5-6 years ago, massive suicides with farmers in India who had been lured into using Monsanto's genetically modified seed. They would genetically modify it so that it would grow and the farmers could use Roundup to keep down the weeds and not kill the crop. The problem is that after they sprayed the ground with Roundup, now nothing would grow except for Monsanto's GM seeds. And then Monsanto started tightening the screws down on these people, and they couldn't make a living. They had to buy the seed every year, and they were going bankrupt and committing suicide.
Well, it's finally happening. The president is coming out and saying the deep state are a bunch of out-of-control criminals that need to be prosecuted, and he has fired over 200 senior bureaucrats in the State Department and the Justice Department in just the last few days. And he took the head prosecutor over Stone and offered her a job at Treasury. As soon as she quit that job, he then withdrew the nomination, and now she's out on her globalist ass. This is beautiful. It's happening, but we need to see a lot more. All the neocons need to be fired. All the Obama appointees, fired. All the deep state globalists who have resumes with George Soros, fired, 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 fired. Trump is finally unleashed. Trump is not the red wave. He is the red storm. And InfoWars is the tip of the spear, powered by we the people, never backing down, never giving in, and delivering victory in our time.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You're worried about a biological weapon where they bring in a dangerous disease. CDC calls it a select agent. They bring in a dangerous disease. They make it more dangerous, a greater risk of fatality. And then they make it more easily spread. And they call that a select agent. It's why the people at CDC, in my opinion, wear the military uniforms, because they're part of biological warfare. You think that the vaccines aren't a part of that? You think that our food is not a part of that? Well, let me try to convince you otherwise, then, if that's what you think. For example, I just talked about how it could be used as a weapon. You know, you go in, just as we've already seen in India, you get people hooked on Monsanto. You know, it's a, we'll sell you a seed that is resistant to glyphosate, to Roundup. And so you can buy this seed, and then you can spray your soil, and it'll grow, but nothing else will grow. And then you have to buy that from them every year. See, in the past, the farmers could set aside some of their crop and produce their own seed, but now they have to buy that seed every year. And they're at the mercy of Monsanto's pricing. And they can't get off of that because they've now poisoned their soil so that nothing else will grow through that glyphosate. Not to mention the fact of how the glyphosate gets into the water supply, gets into other foods, and how it sprays over into adjacent fields and so forth. And so that's the sort of thing where the U.S. military could just withhold those seeds, and now you've poisoned their land. They've poisoned their land, and now they can't get the seed to grow anything. But then let's take a look at the other aspect of this, and that is the gene splicing to put in other types of attributes. In this article from Zero Hedge, actually it's from Global Research, we say in one case in Canada, a government department discovered an antifreeze gene in the blood of fish who were living in Arctic waters that allowed them to survive in sub-zero temperatures. So they spliced that into Canadian wheat crops. See, this is the difference between selective breeding and genetic modification. You can't breed fish with wheat, right? An extreme example. And yet, even though one is the animal kingdom and the other is a plant kingdom, because they have a common designer, God, you can take elements from one and combine them across these different kingdoms. The same thing is true of animals that typically would not breed with each other because they're not the same kind of animal. But you can do that gene splicing. That's very different from what we've done for, you know, entire human existence, where we selectively breed dogs to produce extreme variation, right? No. This is combining things that are completely alien and splicing them in genetically. And so that allowed them to produce wheat that could grow in freezing temperatures. Monsanto then did that with tomatoes. You've had American Research Labs take the genes from fireflies and splice them into tobacco plants so they glow in the dark, or into monkeys so that they glow in the dark. That type of thing has happened. The U.S. Defense Department has invested huge sums in research directed to splicing lethal genes into crop seeds, including things like smallpox, bird and swine flu viruses, coronaviruses, the plague, AIDS, and many more. Right? So why begin a shooting war when Monsanto or Cargill can sell rice, corn, and soybeans that contain a disease? Why do that? It's a lot cheaper, right? It's a lot more efficient. Not only that, but you can actually put things in here that can do global population reduction, which is really where these people want to go. And a good example of this is in 2001. Scientists at the Epicyte Biolab in San Diego created a GM contraceptive corn. Yeah, maybe it's something that you could put in all the drinks because we use corn syrup in all the drinks, right? Having discovered a rare class of human antibodies that attack sperm, the researchers isolated the genes that regulate the manufacture of these antibodies, inserted them into corn plants, and they created horticultural factories that make contraceptives. Shortly after the 2001 Epicyte press release, all discussions of breakthrough vanished, and the company was taken over by Biolex. Nothing more was heard in any media about the development of spermicidal corn. Epicyte, DuPont, and Syngenta are sponsoring a seed vault that is being set up in Norway. This is a joint venture to share and use the technology, and he asks in this article, so when you've got heritage seed vaults all over the planet, they said, you know, in case something happens, we want to make sure we've got a good backup copy that we can restart our food supply. You know, at least, you know, for those of us that get into the Dr. Strangelove continuity of government underground caverns with their girls, they will have a source to start hydroponically growing natural food again and things get out of hand. And so we've already got that. So why are they doing this? And why is it being done by these people who are genetically modifying food? One might ask. Now, his idea is that, well, you know, the stated purpose, we're told, is to store the entire world's heritage seeds, but that's already been done. Promoters and financiers of this venture, however, the same people who control the genetically modified seeds and who have been among the most outspoken proponents of drastically reducing the world's population. People from the Rockefeller and Gates Foundation, Syngenta, DuPont, Monsanto, these are the same people who are actively destroying crop diversity all over the planet. So why would they suddenly get religion and decide to save in Norway the same seeds that they're destroying everywhere else? Some time ago, William Ingdahl wrote an excellently researched article on the subject of the seed vault, and he arrived at the same conclusion, that the vault was created as a storehouse for lethal biological pathogens, the DNA of which can be combined with genetically modified seed and unleashed anywhere with the help of these same seed companies. No other use would explain the list of participants or the need for a remote location and a virtually nuclear-proof security. To give you the idea of what is involved in the security, not only did they put it near the North Pole, I guess you could say that's kind of DARPA's Fortress of Solitude for the Ubermensch, right? The master race, not Superman, but the Ubermensch. It is virtually inaccessible just because of its location. But then, over and above that, according to their press releases, the seed vault has dual blast-proof doors with motion sensors, two airlocks, walls of steel-reinforced concrete 1 meter thick. That's better protected than the president's beast. They just drove around NASCAR. There are no full-time staff, but the vault's relative inaccessibility will facilitate monitoring any human activity. And again, they're saying this is to store the very seeds that they are so intent on destroying elsewhere and replacing elsewhere. So is it a coincidence that these same organizations who also are bent on population control, from Norway to the Rockefeller Foundation to the World Bank, that they're also involved in this seed bank project? I think not. I mean, it's just another example of the importance of prepping. You know, we look at what's going on with this coronavirus. Now we've got Daily Mail And you have, it was when this first came out, I pointed out that they had their first biosafety level 4 lab right there. And that had been set up in 2017. Subsequent to that, we realized that they had been working. They had actually bought a high-ranking, actually, he's chair of the chemistry department in Harvard. He's now been indicted criminally for a technology transfer to the Chinese. They had a military officer who was involved in smuggling stuff to Chinese people out of that lab and also out of Canada at the same time. So I pointed that out as that came out a couple of days after that. But I had pointed that out weeks ago about the connection of where this biosafety level four lab was, how ridiculous it was. I think this came from bat soup, especially when the lab is right there. The next day, the Daily Mail showed the how close it was to that food market. And now the Daily Mail has an article from the South China University of Technology. And they say that, quote, the killer coronavirus probably originated from that lab in Wuhan. They point to research on bats and respiratory diseases that were carried out by the Wuhan Center for Disease Control. That's the same, by pointing that out, by the way, that was what got Zero Hedge banned from Twitter for pointing out the truth of that. They said that the possible origin of that was disease-ridden animals kept in the laboratory, including about 600 bats. Also mentioned accidents and accidental releases of these animals from that lab. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Don't be a victim. If you're worried about the coronavirus, exercise, but not too hard, because that can lower your immune system. Drink extra purified clean water so that no toxins weigh you down, but you have plenty of hydration. Prayer and meditation has been proven to make you healthier. Get plenty of vitamin C. Get plenty of vitamin D3, which is fish oil. Take your colloidal silver, all of it. That's what allows you to be healthier and get plenty of sleep. We have sold out of the 16-ounce immune gargle that has the nano silver that's patented and documented and even admitted in documents we've shown to go after this whole corona. SARS family of viruses. We're almost sold out of the 1 ounce spray bottles. That'll be sold out in a couple days, and we're in about a week and a half or so of the super silver 3 ounce bottles. Great to have, period. Really good for your gums, really great for your teeth. We also have the super silver in our whitening toothpaste. Again, we're the only folks allowed to private label or make our own products with this top nanotech company based here in the U.S. that's in all these Homeland Security documents and everything, because we get the best stuff. There's a lot of patriots. There's not just bad guys coming after us. There's the flip side of all the good guys and good gals, and it's very exciting.
I have confirmed with high-level sources that President Trump is intending to either pardon Roger Stone after his sentencing or give him clemency, saying the conviction stands, but you now basically don't go to jail. Either way, this is incredibly good news. But let's not forget Julian Assange. That's one of the biggest black marks on Trump, is that he famously said, I don't know who got the emails. I don't know where they came from. The Russians, a fat dude in his mom's basement, whoever's got them, release them. It's about Hillary committing a crime, not who has the emails. Don't change the subject. Well, Julian Assange undoubtedly took Trump over the top. The WikiLeaks exposed the deep state. The man is a hero. Daniel Ellsberg was a hero. Well, Assange is even a bigger hero, and he's rotting in solitary confinement and at court hearings can barely talk. President Trump, do the right thing and ask the British to release Julian Assange and give him a medal. Three weeks ago, we told you that the Pentagon had set up secret quarantine centers for the coronavirus and that they believed it was much more serious than we were being told. Now we know that that is the case. And we know the federal government and major corporations have been buying up all the major storable food supplies around the country. Almost everyone else is sold out. But our supplier, My Patriot, at InfoWarsStore.com, still has their entire line of high-quality, fresh food. And it's fresh. That's why you have to wait 10 to 14 days for it to get delivered. Not because they don't have the food, but because they've got to package it and their factories are going 24 hours a day. High quality, fresh food, the best package systems, tastes great, protects you and your family, and funds the InfoWar. You just got to get the orders in until they extend it out even more, which could happen. Lock in your orders now, ensure you get it at InfoWarsStore.com today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Cobra Commander here, reminding you to not own firearms, to not take supplements, to not get sunshine, and to not love Jesus. And of course, do not get storable foods or any other types of colloidal or nano silver at InfoWarsStore.com. Do not do it. Trust CNN. Trust MSNBC. Drink fluoridated water just like the loving kiss of a king cobra pumping deadly, loving, helpful nutrients into your body. Hug the cobra. Love the cobra. Kiss the cobra. But never, never go to InfoWars.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Do not order those products! Silence Jones now!
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, we've got the Nevada primary caucus coming up this Saturday. Let's talk a little bit about moderate Democrats. Is that an oxymoron or what? We've got Amy Klobuchar. She is the poster child for a moderate Democrat, right? She says she would raise estate taxes by $100 billion. That's moderate, isn't it? Yeah, for a Democrat, perhaps. Rather than Bernie Sanders, who just wants to steal everything from everybody. But it was kind of interesting when Amy Klobuchar and Steyer went on an interview, and they were asked by a Hispanic reporter, or I guess interviewer, they were asked to name Mexico's president. And I want you to hear this cringe-worthy video, because this is a Aleppo moment for the Democrats, especially for Amy Klobuchar. This is something that is going to basically keep her from getting the nomination, I think. Totally, totally clueless. That's why. Remember when Gary Johnson had a panel of people, and Gary Johnson was taken very serious, even though he's a Libertarian candidate. He is a two-term governor in New Mexico, and so you had some of the people there asking him, so what about Aleppo? And he goes, Aleppo? Aleppo? What are we talking about? He didn't know what it was. I mean, is this a drink? Is it a drug that you would like to have legalized? I'm all for that, he says. Or is it a place? And if it is a place, what is the context of that place? It just happened to be the epicenter of what was going on in Syria. And so in this interview, and let's go ahead and just run the interview, video clip number 5, watch Klobuchar and Steyer, who gets stumped when they're asked to name Mexico's president. This reporter is persistent, and he calls their bluff. Video clip number 5.
What do you know about the Mexican president?
Okay, well, what I will tell you is that I will visit Mexico in the first 100 years.
I'll find out who he is.
100 days.
I will.
Well, she said within the first 100 years.
Yeah. You would like to be the Democratic candidate. Yeah. What do you know about the Mexican president now?
Well, I know that he is elected in the last few years. I don't know him personally. I've met with the ambassador, and I was actually supportive of the trade agreement. So I worked with
the embassy. Yeah, she voted for the USMCA, even though she doesn't know anything about it either.
And I ask because it's so important, especially Nevada, California, Arizona, Texas. This is our neighbor to the south. Yeah. Do you know anything about him? Specifically his politics, what he's doing, since this would be the country you would share a border with. Anything you can tell me about him?
I know that they are neighbors, and regardless of who the leader is, that it is someone that I will work with.
I'm sorry to ask, do you know who he is? Do you know his name?
I know that he is the Mexican president.
But can you tell me his name?
No.
So. Don't you think it would be important if you're running for president to know
who the president of Mexico, he is the Mexican president.
The country to the south of the United States is?
Yes.
Because it affects so many Americans. Mexican Americans are the largest Hispanic, the largest number of Hispanics in the U.S. are Mexican Americans.
Of course it is, yes.
Of course, yes, I knew that.
Is there anything specifically you can tell me that you do know about Andrés Manuel López Obrador or what he's doing in Mexico that has a direct effect on all of our border communities?
Well, what I do know is that we have had issues, of course, with asylum and people coming up. I actually visited Mexico under the previous president.
Yes.
And went there and led a delegation there to work on human trafficking. And I met with the attorney general at the time. And we had a very positive meeting. So I didn't meet with the president. I met with the attorney general.
This is all we need to see. It gets even more uncomfortable here. But yeah. I intend to go down there sometime during the first 100 years. I mean, 100 days. And I will find out on that fact-finding trip exactly who the Mexican president is. I promise. That's a promise to all of those voters out there with divided loyalties who care as much about the Mexican president as they do about the American president. And maybe when she talks about how she passed the USMCA, maybe she ought to ask the question we did the day before, unfortunately, President Bush. It's very much like President Bush, what President Trump did, signing the USMCA. Got to ask why the provisions that are in there. I mean, when you just look at the table of contents of the USMCA, that ought set off all kinds of alarms. The very fact that Mexico reserves ownership of its petroleum-based resources, why would they do that if it didn't threaten our ownership of those same types of resources? And why don't we have that same kind of protection under that treaty? And that's just the beginning. That's just the very first question you might ask. But, of course, you didn't know the president, AMLO, as many people call him. That's the, you know, he's got multiple names, so they just kind of abbreviated into AMLO, like we have JFK. Didn't know who that was. Tried to bluff her way through. And Steyer didn't know it either. And then I guess when they asked Joe Biden, he couldn't even remember his name. Or the president that he was vice president for. That's kind of where we are with these guys. Biden, however, says that he is in favor of banning plastic straws. See? Yeah, he wants to, he is so 2018, Joe. Don't you realize that people have moved on from that nonsense? But he's trying to show how he is all about the environment. He's all about gun confiscation. You know, he did that last week. He pulled a Eric Swalwell, Beto O'Rourke desperate move. Yes, I'm going to confiscate the guns from these people. They shouldn't have them. Well, I'll tell you, you are certainly going to see the guns confiscated if Bloomberg gets in. Klobuchar, to try to make up for this disastrous thing, also announced that she does no longer wants that English to be the national language of America. She had previously voted that English should be the official language of the United States. Why is this important, folks? I'll tell you why. It's because we can't even agree what the Constitution says when everybody's reading English. What do you think people are going to, you know, what's going to happen when we've got multiple languages? You know, we've got the Supreme Court and judges everywhere telling us, no. You think you understand English and you think you can read the Constitution, but I'm going to tell you what it really says. It doesn't say that. We will never, ever get it back if we don't have one language that everybody has to put this in. That's the whole game that is played by the left and by lawyers. It's labels and it's language games that are being done. As Joe Biden says he wants to ban plastic straws, the Democrats in Hawaii, just like the Democrats in Oregon, I pointed out how they had over 1,000 trucks show up to protest the second time the Oregon Democrats decided that they were going to carbon tax the trucking and timber industries out of existence. Well, they're doing that in Hawaii as well because, again, the common illness that these two states share is called Democrats. What they have proposed is carbon taxes, and listen to the level of the carbon taxes. A tax on gasoline would begin at $8.22 per barrel in 2021 and top out at $23.16 in 2030. Why 2030? Well, because they're implementing a UN agenda. How does that break down to per gallon of gas? Well, when you look at it, it's about 42 gallons in a barrel of crude. They get about 19 gallons refined gas out of that. So that begins with a 43-cent tax on gasoline and ends up with $1.21. For diesel, it's even more. It gets up to $1.38 a gallon. They're going to make it impossible for you to drive a car at the same time that they are adding all these other regulations. And if that doesn't work, they'll just outright ban them. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Well, it's finally happening. The president is coming out and saying the deep state are a bunch of out-of-control criminals that need to be prosecuted, and he has fired over 200
senior bureaucrats in the State Department and the Justice Department in just the last few days. And he took the head prosecutor over Stone and offered her a job at Treasury. As soon as she quit that job, he then withdrew the nomination, and now she's out on her globalist ass. This is beautiful. It's happening, but we need to see a lot more. All the neocons need to be fired. All the Obama appointees, fired. All the deep state globalists who have resumes with George Soros, fired, 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 fired. Trump is finally unleashed. Trump is not the red wave. He is the red storm. And InfoWars is the tip of the spear, powered by we the people, never backing down, never giving in, and delivering victory in our time. Almost all the other big storable food companies are sold out of food. But I know for a fact from sources they're telling people, oh, we've got it, get your order in, 2 weeks for delivery. We follow this pattern over and over again. I've been on radio for 25 years. I've had storable food for a long time. And I learned very quickly a lot of these companies, they're fine during normal times. But during a crisis, they don't keep a bunch of food on hand because of inventory. They'll still take your orders. That's why about 11 years ago, I found My Patriot Supply, now the biggest, most trusted company out there. And I became a private labeler for them because they actually have it on hand. They actually give it delivered to you on time. They do what they're going to say they're going to do because they want you as a customer over and over again. And they're good people. Now, they were saying 7 to 10 days before shipping because they've got the food, but they got to package it, record level orders. Now it's 10 to 14 because it's only intensifying with the coronavirus. So get your orders in at InfoWarsStore.com. Get the best deals. Get it delivered first. They're in our system. It goes right to them. Then it funds the InfoWar as well. So get prepared. InfoWarsStore.com with storable foods.
It's no secret that our daily lives are becoming more stressful. No matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, we're all feeling the strain from rising pressure. That's why we worked hard to create a new formula to support your fight against stress in your hectic day. Chill Force is our solution for a true, healthy, relaxation support formula. As the long-awaited sister formula to Brain Force Plus, this formula includes powerful ingredients and time-tested practices to help fight your stress levels. It's time to take a breather. Get Chill Force today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Since the beginning, Secret 12 has been one of our most popular formulas. Now we're bringing you an all-new version of your favorite formula to help you reach your energy peak. Ultra 12 from InfoWars Life takes advantage of the most effective and expensive form of B12 available, methylcobalamin, to provide you with twice the B12. Ultra 12 can help make DNA, support the body's energy production, and help produce healthy blood cells while assisting proper nervous system function. Help support your energy levels and take advantage of the superior form of B12 today with Ultra 12.
This should really be easier than it is. I'm not here giving you a sales pitch. I'm pointing out the way forward, things that I've discovered that I absolutely know work, that if you will listen to me and try them out for yourself, you will see how amazing it is. And then your support of the product we're selling will help you and will help us, and it's symbiotic. My friends, I harp and harp and harp about iodine because it's the good halogen, fluoride's the bad halogen. And people told me about it for years and I didn't listen. And I'm so thankful that finally I listened to Dr. Group like 8 years ago and started taking true iodine, atomic iodine. We've got it back in stock, X2, 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And I'm telling you folks, get it. It's amazing. Discover the benefits. And it funds the InfoWar, a 360 win. You can't lose unless you don't take action.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Without the freedom to offend, there is no free speech. It's the David Knight Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. We just talked about the moderate, Amy Klobuchar. And I want to move on to the other moderate, Buttigieg. Joining me in studio is my son, who produces this show, Travis Knight. And Travis, before we get into Buttigieg, as I was looking at this story about the armed thieves stealing a truckload of toilet paper, I'm reminded of that armored truck incident that we had in Nanning. Remember that?
Yeah.
Tell the audience about that.
So we were in a shopping district. It was incredibly packed, people everywhere.
Yeah,
and this army,
solid.
Yeah.
Just solid. I mean, you can't even imagine anything like that here in the United States unless you go to New York City on St. Patrick's Day or something like that.
It's wall-to-wall people.
Yeah. Streets everywhere.
And so we're in this little shopping district, and this armored car rolls directly in amongst the people. They don't care. Everyone has to get out of their way. And about five or six guys jump out of the back in full tactical SWAT gear, and they just level their shotguns at the entire crowd.
Yeah, talk about muzzle control. No muzzle control. They're just pointing it. I mean, you know, shotguns pointed at the crowd. I could see these guys. First, we noticed them, and I said, look at these guys, how heavily armed they are inside the truck. And then they jump out and point the shotguns at everybody.
I assume it's just we got a few billion more of these people. We don't have to care if one or two of them gets waxed.
Well, obviously, they didn't have that kind of protection in Hong Kong with the toilet paper.
No, they should have upped their security. Maybe they can talk to mainland China about that.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Pete Buttigieg. Because, again, there's a couple of things that people need to know about him. I was absolutely appalled and amazed when that one woman said, wait, I just handed them the card at the caucus in Iowa. Says, you mean he's got a male husband? I don't want to vote for that, you know? And she had no idea, but that's the thing that he's really been running on.
I don't understand. Did she just see his name? Did she just like it? It's like, Pete, that's a good name. I haven't heard anything else about this guy. That's the only thing I know. Peter.
Yeah.
He seems nice.
And he's mayor of a town that I've never heard of because it's so small. So yeah, we'll vote for him. Absolutely. No, he's very glib. He's very well educated. He's very articulate. And he, again, puts his LGBT credentials out there in front for everybody to vote for him. But what people don't realize about Buttigieg, it's not just his CIA connections, because, you know, we can talk about that. But I think it's even more important, his Marxist identity that he hides, because that's his secret identity. Okay, his LGBT identity, that's his special superpower that he puts on display to move up the scale
of the
Democrat Party. But what people don't really understand is that he is as Marxist, if not more so, than Bernie Sanders. He wrote a piece in high school. It was a essay contest for the JFK Presidential Library. And in that, he was praising Bernie Sanders. And he comes from, he's the spawn of a Marxist family, a Marxist professor. And then there's his Harvard experience that he had.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time a CIA asset praised a Marxist communist and then stabbed him in the back, would it?
Oh, yeah. No. And really, you know, we have to understand that when we look at that type of stuff, even the connection of big banks and big money to the Marxists, you know, it was the central bankers who gave Lenin $10 million in gold and put him on a SEAL train and sent him in to start the Russian Revolution out of Switzerland into Russia. So, you know, this serves their interests. They're not diametrically opposed. It's kind of like, you know, Rex Tillerson, people saying, wait, he's not going to support the Paris Climate Accord because he worked for Exxon. It's like, no, you need to understand who the players are here and what their interests are. So when we look at Buttigieg, one of the things that I've tried to explain to people why he came out swinging at Christians, right? It's not just because of the LGBT stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because of his Marxist background as well. And a professor that he had at Harvard called Sokvan Berkovich. You read a little bit of this op-ed piece from The Atlantic. I mean, you know, his very public faith is challenging assumptions. So The Atlantic did this thing just talking about Buttigieg and just how wonderful it was and how moral he was. And yet, from my perspective, I saw nothing but animosity and hatred towards Christians.
He's been very openly hateful towards Christians. He's done nothing but tear down the Christian faith every time he's given the platform. He talks very candidly about his faith, but not about Christianity. It's like, this is how I interpret it. Mm-hmm. This is my interpretation. It's all about easing you in and slowly subverting what you believe, in my mm-hmm. opinion. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see that in The Atlantic as well. At the very end of the article here on the
I really liked what you had to say about Buttigieg when I talked. That's why I wanted to get you on. You said he was kind of like the Eddie Haskell of the Democrat Party.
Oh, Mrs. Cleaver, Bernie Sanders. I love Bernie Sanders, but I just don't know if he can win the election. I don't know how I feel about him now.
Yeah.
Very polite. He's very clean cut. He's just this conniving little rat. You can see it in his face. Physiognomy is real, people. Look it up.
That's right. Yeah.
But at the end of this article, he says, we all need to be wary of becoming self-appointed arbiters of biblical interpretation, even Pete Buttigieg, mm-hmm. even Pete Buttigieg, mm-hmm. because he's on a pedestal. He is the person that is more qualified than you. But
yeah,
even
he's going to define life as breath, mm-hmm. right? And so because it's breath, that means that you can kill a baby. And he supports infanticide even after the baby's breathing because – and has survived an attempted abortion, he would still kill it. So he's not even consistent with his own definitions.
Absolutely. He's a completely created character by the CIA, obviously.
Yeah.
To me, I see him as, when you go, you'll see all these pictures from pride festivals around the country with all the gays and everything that they get into. And it's become this completely corporate takeover. It's just, you know, AT&T's out there with their rainbow banners. Pete Buttigieg is the rainbow banner for the CIA on this election.
Mm-hmm.
He is nothing but a corporate interest designed to sell you on something.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a label. He's got a marketing angle. But again, getting back to the Marxist basis of this, and it was this Atlantic article that I saw going back, and I'm looking at the date on here. I don't remember what date this was, but it's a couple of months old when they were talking about this. And when they started talking about Sokvan Berkovich, it's like, whoa, alarm bells go off.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sokvan Berkovich is a guy, he's a immigrant from the Ukraine. He's Jewish. He went to Canada. Then he came to America. And he is celebrated by the leftists in the academic community because he specialized in deconstructing America and doing it by deconstructing Christianity, going back to Puritanism and saying, look at this, you know, our involvement in Vietnam is because of this Puritan idea.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to destroy all of that. And so he wrote a lot of different books where he would talk about the origins of America's Puritan self, and he would take novels that were written in the mid-1800s mm-hmm. by these transcendentalists and Unitarians who were themselves trying to destroy America's original Christian foundation. And so he kind of weaponized that, and he's so far left that he sees some kind of Unitarian transcendentalist like Ralph Waldo Emerson. He sees him as being the same as this Puritan Cotton Mather, okay? Because, you know, you get far enough away from two people, they look like they're right next to each other, even though they may be oceans apart, right?
Absolutely. The sun and the moon look about the same size because of the distance you're away from them.
Yeah, that's how far left Sokvan Berkovich is. And again, Sokvan, he changed his name to Sokvan because he wanted to honor these radical, anarchists, Sacco and Vanzetti, who were executed. They became heroes of the left, and he actually changed his name to Sokvan in order to honor them. And again, you know, looking at everything through the lens of ultra-leftism, and that's exactly the way that Buttigieg came out swinging, you know, because that's the way he was educated in Harvard.
Absolutely. It's all about undermining and subverting everything. That's what these people specialize in. It's getting into your culture and deconstructing it
mm-hmm.
and reinterpreting it through their own lens.
And that's why he supported, when asked about removing Thomas Jefferson's name, because the Democrats have always wanted to claim Thomas Jefferson as their own.
Mm.
And so they said, well, you know, Thomas Jefferson is ours and Andrew Jackson is ours. And now they don't like either one of them because they're too associated with the founding of this country, and they want to tear down everything this country was about. And so now you've got all these they've had all these Jefferson-Jackson dinners in various Democrat parties across the country. So one interviewer said, well, should we get rid of Thomas Jefferson's name? Should we get rid of this Jefferson-Jackson thing? Oh, yes, I think we should. He's as radical as these Antifa people who are tearing down the statues, isn't he?
Absolutely. They wouldn't be happy with me because I'd be okay with replacing Jackson in there, just as long as you replace him with Stonewall Jackson. We can keep the name, just switch Jacksons.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
With the daily wear and tear of the environment on our skin, it's only natural that it starts to crack and take damage. Wind, heat, water, and age are telltale signs that it's time to start taking care of your skin. With the InfraWars Super Silver Cream, you can keep your skin feeling silky smooth and begin to heal the damages of the world around you. Created with ingredients like coconut oil, vitamin E, and the incredible Silver Sol formula, InfraWars Silver Cream works triple duty, supporting the beautifying and protecting of the skin in a fast, non-greasy formula. Small and easily stored, it can support dry and damaged skin to reduce fine lines and wrinkles, while smoothing and softening calluses. With none of the harmful ingredients found in other formulas, you can be sure this Silver Cream is hard at work, promoting the healing of your skin. Don't miss out on the new Silver Sol powered can't miss formula. Get the InfoWars Super Silver Cream today.
If you understand why the globalists, why the servants of Satan hate InfoWars, it's because we're awake, we're alive, we're passionate, and we're not giving up. That's why it's critical for those of us that are aware of the New World Order's plans to not get down when they attack us and they persecute us and they lie about us. That's what we should expect, because we are hurting these scumbags. The globalists have literally sold their soul to the dark side, and they do what they do because they're slaves, because they are eternally driven to try to suppress and dominate and destroy the innocent. It is up to us who are awake, not the sheep and not the wolves, but the sheepdogs, to stand firm and resist these wicked tyrants. They fear the fact that we are awake. They fear the fact that we are alive. They fear the fact that we love God. And that's all we ever have to know, is that God is in charge.
Real stuff, man. We're talking about the real deal here. And I love Trump all day long, but man, I tell you, he sits here and lets these big tech people keep running roughshod over him. Everybody, I've got a problem. And we'll just take the Trump rallies over. That said, about 2 months ago, I came up with a plan that I haven't launched yet. We have a warehouse full of hundreds of thousands of stickers, 20 different stickers. Impeach the Democrats, save the Second Amendment, defend the First Amendment, Infowars.com. And it looks like duct tape, but it's just a regular sticker. You put it over your mouth, you go to a Trump rally, and you instantly take over without even disrupting things. People say, why are you doing this? What's happening? Well, you go, well, we're being censored, and, you know, Trump won't do anything about it. And Dr. Pechenik, let me just ask you what you think, because I've not launched this yet.
It's brilliant. You've taken the very element that they try to repress you with, that silence, and made it into a weapon. You have the loudest sound of all, silence. And you know what's most disturbing to people? Silence.
There's roughly only 260 days left until the 2020 election, and already you've seen all sorts of crazy things happen. The globalists are trying to plunge the economy. They're trying to start wars. They're trying to overthrow the president. They're trying to silence free speech. They're trying to trigger riots in the streets. But everything they do is blowing up in their face. We the people have to pray, stay focused, be involved, keep spreading the word, keep countering their lies, and we have to be prepared in case things go south. That's why it's so critical to go to InfoWarsStore.com and stock up on high-quality preparedness items, from storable foods to high-quality water filtration and air filtration to the very best supplements and silver products you're going to find. They're all available at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase there not only ensures high-quality products for you and your family at great prices, but it funds the InfoWar in this critical time. A total, complete, absolute 360 win. Every point of the compass is covered. The only way we can be defeated is if you don't take action. Get high-quality products at InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the closet beliefs of Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Cheat, the dark asset of the CIA, who also has a closet identity. That is one of Marxism. And again, if we go back and look at this article that was written to praise him, to praise Caesar by The Atlantic, his very public faith, they talk about his Christian faith and how he is going to make the Democrats more tolerant of Christians. In other words, admitting Travis and Travis Knight, my producer and son. I produced you, and now you're producing me. How about that?
Circle of life.
Yeah. And so, you know, what they're talking about here is they readily admit, even though they love Buttigieg, and even though they're coming from the left, they readily admit that the Democrats hate Christians. And it began with his criticism of Pence and other Christians, as we've seen. But this is the way he defines his faith, Travis. He says, at least in my interpretation of Christianity, it helps to root in religion a lot of what it is that we do believe in when it comes to protecting the sick, the stranger, and the poor. And what is he selling there? The sick, he's selling health care,
right? Medicare, Medicaid for all, whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
Obamacare.
The stranger, who is that? That's open borders, right?
Yeah. They're getting Obamacare too, by the way.
Yeah. And then the welfare state. But what is that really? You know, we've seen that in South America. We've seen it from the Pope as well, right?
Yeah. Liberation theology is what the Pope believes in, and that is huge across South America. Absolutely.
Yeah. That and that in and of itself began by Marxists within the Catholic Church. And it is basically, a denial of what Christianity is about. It's a denial of Puritanism and so forth. You know, when I look at this and I look at his mentor, Sokvan Berkovich, saying that, you know, there's, you know, all these Christians going from the Puritan Cotton Mather to Ralph Waldo Emerson and lumping those guys together when, you know, what Emerson was saying with his transcendentalism, he was saying that all people are basically good and that, you know, we don't really have anything that we have to worry about. So, you know, it's the antithesis, isn't it, of Calvinism?
Absolutely.
We're all God, right? And it's like, no, that's not exactly at all what Cotton Mather was talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure anywhere in the Bible supports his beliefs in that area.
Yeah, but certainly not the Puritans and certainly not the Calvinists. I mean, the fact that you could link a Calvinist to a Unitarian Universalist. But again, we need to understand what these different philosophies are because he is rooted in liberation theology and these ideas have consequences. And I remember the story, you remember the story too, from R.C. Sproul talking about a German philosopher when he was in college. And the guy was he had been a university professor as the Nazis came to power. And he escaped, he couldn't get a job here. He said there they came after the philosophy professors because they realized how important that was. And he says here in America, people don't realize how important philosophy is. They don't realize that it forms the core of what you believe and that you're going to act out on that. And so he was there sweeping floors as a janitor because the people weren't hiring any more philosophy professors. They didn't really need them.
I think one of the things about politics is people will say today, politicians don't represent the American people, but I'm fairly certain they actually do. America has embraced this anything for a dollar consumerist mindset. Mm-hmm. And are you surprised when politicians like this pop up and they embody that philosophy? He's going to sell you out. He's going to subvert anything for his masters, for his own agenda. He's here for himself and for the people like him.
Yeah, you and I look at him, and like you point out, he looks to you like Eddie Haskell, mm-hmm. sounds like him. But a lot of people are taken in by the fact that, you know, we saw Michael J. Fox say, well, I endorse this guy because all these other people are just yelling at me. You mm-hmm. know, Bernie is yelling at me. Biden is just, you know, wallowing in his grief and negativism.
Railing at the clouds.
Yeah, exactly. And Booty seems to be real optimistic, and he thinks that he can solve things, but yet he's never solved anything. He's never run anything. He's like Barack Obama, the other CIA candidate, who was just a blank slate coming in.
Again, he's a complete CIA creature. He's an asset of the political establishment. He's very polite. He's very polished because they want to go back to the don't ask any questions. We're going to do politics in the dark. We're going to be very, very stately about it. We're going to sit in these rooms where you don't watch. It's boring. You're uninterested. And we're going to strangle you.
Yeah.
We're going to crush you slowly without you ever knowing it.
You know,
they're tired of Trump calling them on their nonsense. They want to go back to where they can just lie straight to your face.
Yeah.
And the news media is going to be okay with it.
There's Eddie Haskell right there. Yeah, just leave it to Beaver.
Eddie Haskell's a bit better looking than Pete Buttigieg is.
Well, you know, when we look at this and he talks about how they have compassion for the sick, the stranger, the poor. And the thing that puts the lie to all of that is the fact that he can't have any compassion for an innocent baby,
mm-hmm.
right? That they would let an innocent baby die. And he's made that very clear. You know, I would not stand in the way of somebody doing a full-term abortion or an afterbirth abortion, right? And when we look at all of that in light of the fact that now we have, making the Drudge Report today, the fact that an orangutan has now been granted personhood. And so I'm wondering, is this because they think that he'll make a good Democrat voter, or is he going to basically, once he starts looking at the rhetoric of the Democrats, this new orangutan, new person, orangutan is going to say, wait a minute, they're saying orange man is bad? maybe he's my guy, right?
I've seen some orangutans at the zoo, and I'll be honest, they look a bit more intelligent than your average Democrat voter. So we may have just gotten another one for Trump.
The sad thing about it is that this whole thing about personhood, right, this goes back to the debate about abortion. You now have, you know, it used to be with Roe v. Wade, they would argue that the babies aren't human yet, mm-hmm. right? That in the early stages, and again, this is the idea that goes back to Ernst Haeckel, Darwin's bulldog, that you go through these various evolutionary stages, right? Phylogeny recapitulates ontology was what Carl Sagan would say, and everybody was like, whoa, I don't know what to say about
Big
that.
Big words.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the idea that they would put out there. It's not a human at that point, mm-hmm. right? Now you've got the abortionist doctors, like this black abortionist killing black babies in D.C. going on a talk show, and he says, no, it's a human. It's going to be, what do you think it's going to become? Of course it's a human. It's just not a person, right? And so now they can say that an orangutan is a person, but a baby is not a person, even after the baby has gone full term and it survived your attempts to tear it apart in the womb, it's still not a person.
To me, this is more of that where they put it in your face. They show you just how much they hate you. First, they tell you that, you know, human life has no value. We have to get rid of humans. We have to kill babies. But monkeys matter. This orangutan matters.
Exactly.
You are worth less than an orangutan.
Well, it's what Joker Phoenix was saying, mm-hmm. right? You know,
we need a few billion less people on the planet and a few more orangutans.
We need to stop artificially inseminating cows. It's like, no, we need more beef. We need to stop milking them, you know, and that's what they're talking about. Again, it's speciesism, you know, and so they're going to honor every species except the human species. And we have this, this article from Yahoo about the UK philosophy professor, Patricia McCormick. And she is now going the next step. We've had AOC and these others saying, well, I don't want to bring a child into this world that's melting down. But she says, no, she's an antinatalist. She just wants to kill people.
Mm-hmm. A female professor was your first mistake. this woman is obviously, she's probably wasted her entire life in school. She's probably past her 30-year-old point, and she's realized that she has no chance of having a child at this point. She's made herself completely insufferable to men, I assume.
Well, she is deep into what she calls post-human ethics. She's a goth, and she lists on her resume here, feminism, queer theory, post-human theory, body modification, and animal rights. And again, this is what we just see with this orangutan, mm-hmm. right? Animals have rights, but humans don't have rights. And we need to extinguish the humans because of the carbon footprint.
The carbon footprint is completely ridiculous to me. And that's one of places where right-wing Twitter falls apart, in my opinion. They bought into this whole the world is ending global warming type lie in some areas.
Yeah.
And I'm all for cleaning up the environment, getting the plastics out of the oceans. But this idea that you need to completely...
It's the Chinese that are dumping them in.
Yes. This idea you need to completely shut down our energy industry is insane. And I do think we need to reform industrial agriculture. It is bad. It's destroying the environment, and
that's
it's bad
for animals.
That's a
good way to talk about it. Reform it. Reform it, and we reform it. Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at this, though, where they want to go, they're talking about the carbon legacy of just one child creates 20 times more greenhouse gas than one can save by recycling or driving an electric car. So, see, that's it right there. Mm. You can't undo... you can destroy your car, but unless you destroy your child, you haven't really been obedient to the environmental god.
Your
that's
existence
the, really, the
is
sad
evil.
Thing about it.
You don't deserve to exist.
That's where they're ultimately going, folks, and you need to understand that. And if you want to keep us on air, we really do need your support. InfoWarsStore.com, we've got some great specials you can still get. And, of course, you need to move on this while you can. Still get emergency survival foods. It's going to storable for 25 years. It's non-GMO. It's made in America. The best packaging you're going to find anywhere. We still have that available. We also have our immune gargle spray that has nano silver in it. We have a discount off the 3.4 and 1 ounce bottles, 40% off many other products to help your immune system. Thank you so much, Travis. And we'll be right back. Stay
Thank
with
you.
Us.
I want to talk about Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste because I hadn't tried it except for maybe the last week and a half. And I told Alex, I said, man, this is the best toothpaste I've ever tried. He's like, well, what are you doing just sitting in here telling me? You got to get up there and tell people. And so here I am telling people Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste is by far the best toothpaste I've ever tried. And I'm 45 years old and I've tried a lot of different toothpaste and it's fluoride free. I think the big difference, the game changer in this is the coral calcium, because after I brush my teeth with this, they feel so clean and the toothpaste that I don't even like rinse out my mouth after I brush my teeth with this. It feels so good. It feels like good things are happening in my mouth. In fact, I find myself brushing my teeth 3 to 4 times a day rather than just twice a day now because I like the way it feels.
3 weeks ago, we told you that the Pentagon had set up secret quarantine centers for the coronavirus and that they believed it was much more serious than we were being told. Now we know that that is the case. And we know the federal government and major corporations have been buying up all the major storable food supplies around the country. Almost everyone else is sold out. But our supplier, My Patriot, at InfoWarsStore.com, still has their entire line of high-quality, fresh food. And it's fresh. That's why you have to wait 10 to 14 days for it to get delivered. Not because they don't have the food, but because they've got to package it and their factories are going 24 hours a day. High quality, fresh food, the best package systems, tastes great, protects you and your family, and funds the InfoWar. You just got to get the orders in until they extend it out even more, which could happen. Lock in your orders now, ensure you get it at InfoWarsStore.com today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's talk about that other quote-unquote moderate of the Democrat Party. You know, Michael Bloomberg, the guy who for years has been pouring millions of dollars in to confiscate guns without bothering to change the Constitution. I mean, why do we need to worry about that? We're going to have joining us coming up in this next hour because we had the interview cut off. We had some technical problems on Friday on Richard Proctor's end. We couldn't get back in touch with him and until the very end of the segment. So I wanted to finish up with that. And I've actually got a new question for him on the Equal Rights Amendment, because that's now become a thing for the Democrats. The Virginia Democrats have come in and said, well, you know, after letting this thing sit on the shelf for 38 years after the expiration date, they gave them 10 years, not the usual 7, to pass an amendment. Because going back to the 18th Amendment, the one to prohibit alcohol, they've typically given, as part of the amendment, they've given them 7 years to pass. And so they started it in 1972 when it looked like they didn't have the number of states that signed on to the amendment. They said, we'll give it another 3 years. Still, after 10 years, they didn't have enough votes. And so now, after 38 years of inactivity, you've got the Virginia Democrats coming back in and saying, yeah, we're going to sign up and make the ERA a constitutional amendment. So we're going to talk to him about that, as well as a couple of other constitutional issues that came up over the weekend. And but before we do, real quickly, I want to talk about the Bloomberg situation that came up on the Drudge Report. Drudge put out a statement exclusive that he had been told by somebody within the Bloomberg camp that Bloomberg was considering Hillary Clinton as a running mate. Seriously enough that they talked about, well, you know, you can't have both the president and the vice president from the same state. And again, that goes back to the Electoral College. We've talked about that with Richard Proctor, how initially the president really wasn't, they didn't have anything to do with a popular vote. You had Electoral College people who were selected by the states when the states had power, just like the states had originally selected the senators to represent them. They also selected the electors for the college, Electoral College. And they would submit names, and they would have to pick one name that was not from their state. And it is a requirement that you can't have the president and the vice president from the same state. And so they said, well, you know, Bloomberg could change his residency to another state. I guess Hillary doesn't want to move out of New York. She loves it too much. and so there were these kinds of discussions, but they immediately came back and said, oh, no. We're not serious about that. But maybe what happened was somebody started pointing out to Bloomberg that he did not want to put himself in the position where he was the only thing standing between Hillary Clinton and the presidency. There was actually a satire site that said Bloomberg has now been put on 24/7 suicide watch after worried aides learned that he's considering Hillary Clinton as a vice presidential pick. That would be an appropriate response. If he picks Hillary Clinton as his VP in about a year or two, there would be a memes out there. Michael Bloomberg did not kill himself. Just like they've got with Jeffrey Epstein. And there are many more things about Bloomberg that are concerning, quite frankly. It's not just the fact that Hillary Clinton would be there. But, you know, when you see this kind of talk that is being encouraged by Hillary Clinton, if it's not being encouraged by Michael Bloomberg, this just, to me, underscores why all of this nonsense that we have been drugged through as a nation, that President Trump has been drugged through, is, for the most part, just the vengeful machinations of Hillary Clinton, who is determined to take down anyone and everyone who challenged her in any way. Even Bernie Sanders, whom she defeated. She's still coming after Bernie Sanders. Can you imagine how angry she is at President Trump? And with InfoWars, because she listed us on her What Happened three times. What happened to Hillary Clinton? We're so proud of that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I have confirmed with high-level sources that President Trump is intending to either pardon Roger Stone after his sentencing or give him clemency, saying the conviction stands, but you now basically don't go to jail. Either way, this is incredibly good news. But let's not forget Julian Assange. That's one of the biggest black marks on Trump, is that he famously said, I don't know who got the emails. I don't know where they came from. The Russians, a fat dude in his mom's basement, whoever's got them, release them. It's about Hillary committing a crime, not who has the emails. Don't change the subject. Well, Julian Assange undoubtedly took Trump over the top. The WikiLeaks exposed the deep state. The man is a hero. Daniel Ellsberg was a hero. Well, Assange is even a bigger hero, and he's rotting in solitary confinement and at court hearings can barely talk. President Trump, do the right thing and ask the British to release Julian Assange and give him a medal.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was talking at the top of the hour about Michael Bloomberg and whether there is any truth to the rumor that Hillary Clinton is being considered as his running mate. I guess when I look at this, I wonder whether that rumor would be coming from Bloomberg himself or would it be coming from Hillary Clinton and her people. You know, she bought the Democrat Party. She bought the superdelegates. They were millions of dollars in debt, and she bought them out with the winnings that she had from the Clinton Foundation, which are, you know, tax exempt. You can't even have anybody look at the non-compliance with tax and charity foundation law that is rampant with the Clinton Foundation. Charles Ortel has been on several times with me talking about the fact that they just arrogantly did not even fill out any paperwork that you would typically have to have for a charity. I mean, they just violated every law on the books, but don't look at that because, you know, we're talking about the Clintons here. But she bought out the DNC, and perhaps he would bring her on at the very least as a consultant on how he could buy them out again. You know, they're for sale. It's just a question of, how you do it. Channeling the right money to the right people and so forth. They're very compliant with that. And, of course, he's being sold as an antidote to Bernie Sanders, who she hates as much as she hates President Trump, even though she was able to use the system and the Democrat superdelegates to defeat Bernie Sanders over and over again. He would get, just like we've seen with Mayor Cheat, they get about the same number of votes, or Bernie Sanders gets slightly more, and yet Hillary Clinton would get more delegates. And we see that happening with Mayor Cheat, Pete the Cheat. And so when we look at Bloomberg, as I pointed out, there was a satire headline from the Derringer.com. Bloomberg on 24/7 suicide watch after worried aides learned that he is considering Hillary Clinton as a VP pick. We thought he was okay. We had no reason to think that he might try to take his own life, but I guess you never know what's really going on with someone. Everyone in the campaign was so shocked, horrified, really, that he would consider ending his own life that way, but we knew this wasn't about us. So we rallied together. That's what people will be saying if he does actually go through with this. But he doesn't need to commit suicide. He doesn't need to be suicided by the Clintons. You could just go back and take a look at his history. You know, he's been able to escape being vetted, being debated. He played the game that, I don't qualify for the debates. I really would like to play in that game with those losers, but I don't qualify for the debates because I'm not taking any money. I'm just using my own money. I'm so much better than they are. And yet, information is now surfacing, courtesy of the other parties involved. This one, for example. Bloomberg responded, kill it, after an employee disclosed that she was pregnant in 1997, alleges a lawsuit. And this comes out from Yahoo News. Democrat presidential candidate Michael Bloomberg allegedly told a female employee, kill it, when she told him she was pregnant, according to the 1997 lawsuit that was filed in New York by Sakaiko Sakai Garrison. And it alleges that Bloomberg followed up his first remark with another offensive comment. That's great. Number 16, apparently referring to the number of pregnant employees on his payroll. Now, think about this, women. You want maternity leave? You want all these other issues? This is a guy who really doesn't want you to leave the cubicle and do anything with your family. You know, even to have a baby, you know, as we talked about on Friday. What is being pushed out there now is the idea that you just need to get back to work. That was those people in Australia mocking that mother who, by the way, was working with her husband. The two of them had a business and the two of them worked together. I did that for years with my wife. And that is not somebody who is slacking off and doing nothing. Being a stay-at-home mom, not being involved in a business, is not doing nothing. That is a very, very important job. It is the most important job. That's why they don't want you doing it as they don't want the mothers doing it. They want to do it themselves in the institution. They wouldn't be fighting so hard to get mothers to go to work in a cubicle and abandon their children to child care or to the schools or whatever in the vain hope that they're somehow going to get ahead economically. Because they've basically taxed that away. In the 1950s, they tell us it was just this horrible time and it was an aberration and so forth. The average family of four with a median family income paid 2% in taxes. That doesn't happen today. Instead, they're going to charge you anywhere between 25 and 30% of your income. And by the time you look at that and you look at the expenses involved and, wardrobe and commuting expenses and so forth for a second person, and then child care expenses. They say, oh, no problem. We'll take care of your child for you because the most important thing for the government is to make sure that they are the ones who are raising your kids. They are going to instill their values from before kindergarten. Just remember, kindergarten was the idea of Germans. These people who gave us the Nazis, right? Mandatory, compulsory schooling, state schooling, paid for by taxes. That was a German idea. And then they wanted more of that, so they came up with kindergarten. You know, the Germans have been absolutely ruthless in coming after anybody who tries to homeschool in Germany. They absolutely hate that. They want to be the ones to raise your kids. And, you know, you need to understand the agenda behind this. It is Hitler Youth attitude. Get the kids at an early age. And this goes back, every tyrant knows this. This goes back to Plato's Republic. You know, make sure that they don't know who their parents are was his ideal situation in his republic so that they would not be bound to anyone other than the state. It was repeated in Brave New World, Aldous Huxley. That, yeah, we'll keep them drugged up and, free sex so they don't know who the parents are and we will raise them and we will even stratify them as they are being artificially grown in the labs. You know, they just added a layer of technocracy is what Brave New World did. It just added that along with the distractions of sex and drugs to Plato's idea. But it was essentially the same thing. you know, they would deprive the babies that they're raising in artificial wombs. They would deprive them of oxygen so they could stratify them into the different worker bee categories, just like Huxley wanted to do. But yeah, that, going back to Bloomberg, the lawsuit said sexual harassment and sexual degradation of women at Bloomberg was pervasive. This woman who now lives in Seattle achieved the number one ranking as the regional sales manager at Bloomberg's company, where she worked from 1989 to 1995, and then she was let go. And so she sued because she believed that it had to do with the comment that he made, just kill it. The suit also accused Bloomberg of making racist remarks as well, including calling Mexican clients jumping beans and telling a female employee who needed a nanny, all you need is some black who doesn't even have to speak English to rescue it from a burning building. What does he mean by, I don't, that's just bizarre. But this guy, one of the richest men in the world and one of the most arrogant, elitist authoritarians in the world, and a totalitarian because he wants to tell you every detail of your life. We've played for you the clips where he says, yeah, I'm taxing the poor for their own good. I'm going to tax what they eat. I'm going to take away their guns for their self-defense, you know, up against the wall, take their guns. I'm going to tax their food to stop the sugar because, you know, they'll live longer if I take that away because they're just too stupid to make decisions about their life. This is Michael Bloomberg. He would be a perfect running mate for Hillary Clinton as I think about it. The two of them share all the same beliefs and attitudes toward the rest of us deplorables, don't they? Yeah, up against the wall, deplorable. Give me your money. Yeah, that's the attitude of Bloomberg and Hillary. Boy, I tell you what, birds of a feather. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Richard Proctor, and we're going to talk about the ERA. How are they trying to revive this zombie amendment? And can they? Well, of course, they can do anything they want, I guess. Doesn't have to be in the Constitution. We'll be right back.
Almost all the other big storable food companies are sold out of food. But I know for a fact from sources, they're telling people, oh, we've got it. Get your order in 2 weeks for delivery. We follow this pattern over and over again. I've been on radio for 25 years. I've had storable food for a long time. And I learned very quickly a lot of these companies, they're fine during normal times. But during a crisis, they don't keep a bunch of food on hand because of inventory. They'll still take your orders. That's why about 11 years ago, I found My Patriot Supply, now the biggest, most trusted company out there. And I became a private labeler for them because they actually have it on hand. They actually give it delivered to you on time. They do what they're going to say they're going to do because they want you as a customer over and over again. And they're good people. Now, they were saying 7 to 10 days before shipping because they've got the food, but they got to package it record level orders. Now it's 10 to 14 because it's only intensifying with the coronavirus. So get your orders in at InfoWarsStore.com. Get the best deals. Get it delivered first. They're in our system. It goes right to them. Then it funds the InfoWar as well. So get prepared. InfoWarsStore.com with storable foods.
Well, it's finally happening. The president is coming out and saying the deep state are a bunch of out-of-control criminals that need to be prosecuted, and he has fired over 200 senior bureaucrats in the State Department and the Justice Department in just the last few days. And he took the head prosecutor over Stone and offered her a job at Treasury. As soon as she quit that job, he then withdrew the nomination, and now she's out on her globalist ass. This is beautiful. It's happening, but we need to see a lot more. All the neocons need to be fired. All the Obama appointees, fired. All the deep state globalists who have resumes with George Soros, fired, 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 fired. Trump is finally unleashed. Trump is not the red wave. He is the red storm. And InfoWars is the tip of the spear, powered by we the people, never backing down, never giving in, and delivering victory in our time. All right, folks, here's the bad news. We've already sold out of the 16-ounce immune gargle with the patented nanotech silver that's documented to knock out viruses and bacteria unlike anything else. But we do still have it in the 3-ounce and the 1-ounce for a limited time. The good news is we have
the Super Blue toothpaste and the Super Silver toothpaste, both that have the Nano Silver in them as well. The Super Blue has tea tree that's also antiviral and antibacterial and high-quality iodine. And then, of course, the whitening has the Nano Silver, but on top of that, it has the above sea coral calcium that remineralizes the teeth. And so it's just the best toothpaste you're going to find, period. It has the Nano Silver, and we still have supplies of it, though it'll sell out at current rates in about 2 weeks. But despite that, I'm keeping it at sale at 50% off so everybody can protect themselves with this high-quality product. If you've never used it before, get yours today. InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWarsStore.com.
Real stuff, man. We're talking about the real deal here. And I love Trump all day long, but, man, I tell you, he sits here and lets these big tech people keep running roughshod over him. Everybody, I've got a problem. And we'll just take the Trump rallies over. That said, about 2 months ago, I came up with a plan that I haven't launched yet. We have a warehouse full of hundreds of thousands of stickers, 20 different stickers. Impeach the Democrats, save the Second Amendment, defend the First Amendment, InfoWars.com. And it looks like duct tape, but it's just a regular sticker. You put it over your mouth, you go to a Trump rally, and you instantly take over without even disrupting things. People say, why are you doing this? What's happening? Well, you go, well, we're being censored, and, you know, Trump won't do anything about it. And Dr. Pachinik, let me just ask you what you think, because I've not launched this yet.
It's brilliant. You've taken the very element that they try to repress you with, that silence, and made it into a weapon. You have the loudest sound of all, silence. And you know what's most disturbing to people? Silence. Silence. Silence.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We were talking to Richard Proctor last Friday, and wanted to get into the Johnson Amendment, and in that last segment we lost contact with Richard, so I wanted to get him back on to finish that discussion. But in the meantime, we have this push for the ERA that is coming now out of the state of Virginia. The House of Representatives in the state of Virginia passed a resolution last Thursday. I talked about it briefly. I want to talk about it a little bit more. That would ignore the 1982 deadline for the Equal Rights Amendment, an amendment to the Constitution. They had a 232-183 vote, almost completely along partisan lines, writes the New American, except for five GOP House members who also sided with Democrats on the vote. So I wanted to talk to Richard Proctor about this process. How do we get an amendment? I mean, we talked about the power of the vice president last Friday, how the vice president, as the president pro tem of the Senate, really has some unused power to stop bad bills. And it's not being used by the vice president. It hasn't been used by anyone. But that's what's in the Constitution. Basically, the Speaker of the House can shelve legislation, and so can the vice president. So many times we see the government is usurping power, but here is power that's just laying on the table that's not being used to stop the spread of government. And, so it's a shame to see that that is happening there, but we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. But before we do, Richard, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's good to be here again. That Friday event, I lost my phone all day. I didn't get back on the phone until 7:30 at night. Something happened, and each time I called in, they said, "Oh, 270, you had an outage in 270," and that's my address, 270.
Wow! I guess maybe we got on a topic that was really kind of in the center of things. I mean, you know, quite frankly, that would be what you were talking about is a very, very powerful way to nullify the expansion of federal power. You know, we talk about the 10th Amendment many times, but there are also other devices that are not being used. And in the meantime, you know, we let the Supreme Court and federal bureaucracies usurp power that they don't have.
Oh, we do it all the time. But in fact, there's no rule in the Constitution that says that the Speaker of the House and the Senate pro tem, President pro tem of the Senate doesn't, there's no rule that says that they have to put everything on the board I mean, that's the rule of the organization. So they just do what they want. Two offices, those two places are the most powerful places in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the ER, I think, because this is coming back, and it's, I think, an extension of the Equality Act that is a sweetheart piece of legislation for the Democrats. It's their Valentine to the LGBT community, because with the Equality Act, the so-called Equality Act, they will make things like gender, as you imagine it, as a psychological construct. They will make that equivalent to physical things like sex and race in terms of discrimination. And, of course, the agenda behind that is very clear. You know, it's the entire LGBT transgender tyranny that we have seen over the last years. But I think the revival of the ERA is an attempt to go to the next level, to impose that via a constitutional amendment. And so I want to ask you, under the Constitution, since they started this back in 1972, and we have a history going back to the 18th Amendment where they would typically put a 7-year limit. And again, that's not something that was in the Constitution, but that would accompany these bills. A 7-year limit to say, you know, we're going to have this. Here's an amendment that we're proposing to the Constitution, and they would put a 7-year time limit on it. They did that for the ERA, and then they even gave the ERA an additional 3 years, and they still couldn't get to the number of states that they needed. And so that expired 38 years ago, but now Virginia and others are coming back saying, yeah, we want to pass it when we didn't do it 38 years ago.
You know, there's nothing that says they can't bring it back in again. It's an amendment that can be done. I mean, the 25th, I think it was the 25th, 27th, I mean, didn't even, it was presented as a Bill of Rights, but wasn't passed. So they brought it back in later on. But, you know, this idea of everybody being equal, that's not a Declaration of Independence idea.
That's right.
I mean, it's not culture. It's not proper. It's not natural. Everything about it is wrong. We're destroying our social fabric, and it's horrid. I mean, I was in the Air Force for a very, very long time, and they had young ladies. I'm talking about petite young ladies out on the flight line that couldn't carry their tool chests. Mm-hmm. So the guys carried their tool chests for them. But they couldn't do the job.
And that's a big part of the CRA. They want to, you know, it would require that if they put in a military draft or whatever, that they would have to draft women. It would mean that they would have, you know, a constitutional amendment to push their bathroom agenda that they've got. Lawsuits to, you know, the whole idea about sports competition and everything, that would be out the window. Basically, in the name of equality for women, you would stop them from being able to have any women's sports.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, if we really look at it close, equality for women is to destroy women.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Yes. That's what they always do, isn't it, Richard? They always come in and, you know, they name it the exact opposite of what it is, Patriot Act, right? Let's destroy the Bill of Rights in its entirety, and we'll call it the Patriot Act.
That's right. That has done all the time, and that's what this is also. It destroys women because it doesn't give them the right. It doesn't just give them the right to be in the service. It requires them to be in the service.
That's right.
How would you
that's
like right. to have a SEAL team, all petite young ladies? I mean, come on. What good would that be?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is a real physical difference, and we can see that when we look at the transgender males who are competing in women's events and dominating it. And so the women are now starting lawsuits saying, wait a minute, you essentially destroyed all female competition by allowing biological males to compete because they say that it is now a psychological construct. But let's take a look at the you point out they could do this thing again, but wouldn't they need to start over again? Wouldn't they need to have votes? They can't count the votes that they got 50 years ago, right?
No, they cannot do that. They might, but they cannot. I mean,
not legally.
Well,
they can do anything.
Yeah, that's right. What they can and can't do hasn't got anything to do with law.
That's right.
Legally, they cannot count anything that started. This is a new deal.
Mm-hmm. But that is exactly what the Democrats are doing because they don't really care about what the law says anymore.
That's right. Exactly.
It's absolutely amazing to me how, you know, and we see this, as I pointed out early in the program, with DACA. You know, you have an executive order from Obama's Homeland Security Director saying, I'm not going to enforce the law. And then when President Trump comes in And his attorney general says, no, we are going to enforce the law. They say, no, you can't do that. The courts say, you can't enforce the law. We have an executive order from the previous administration.
Yeah, that's all unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. I hate to keep saying that because it sounds like it's a scapegoat, but it all is.
Well, it is. And the reason they get away with it is because, just as we saw with President Trump, you know, the Trump administration says, oh, okay, well, we'll ask the court, we'll ask the Supreme Court, and maybe they will let me, maybe they will let me override Obama's executive order. And he's doing that because of politics. We'll be right back. We've got to take a quick break, Richard. We'll be right back with Richard Proctor. Again, you can find his books, bathroomeconomics.com, Saving the Constitution. I wish we can. I hope we can. There's a new way to show your support for the InfoWars crew at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, when you buy your favorite products, you can add a donation right at the checkout. Simply open the donation option and either select a preset amount or enter a custom amount. With this brand new donation module, donating to support the InfoWars crew has never been easier. You asked, we delivered. This easy option gives you the means to donate directly to the cause. Remember, we're all part of the fight. InfoWars, brought to you by you.
Since the beginning, Secret 12 has been one of our most popular formulas. Now we're bringing you an all-new version of your favorite formula to help you reach your energy peak. Ultra 12 from InfoWars Life takes advantage of the most effective and expensive form of B12 available, methylcobalamin, to provide you with twice the B12. Ultra 12 can help make DNA, support the body's energy production, and help produce healthy blood cells while assisting proper nervous system function. Help support your energy levels and take advantage of the superior form of B12 today with Ultra 12.
Don't be a victim. If you're worried about the coronavirus, exercise, but not too hard, because that can lower your immune system. Drink extra purified clean water so that no toxins weigh you down, but you have plenty of hydration. Prayer and meditation has been proven to make you healthier. Get plenty of vitamin C. Get plenty of vitamin D3, which is fish oil. Take your colloidal silver, all of it. That's what allows you to be healthier and get plenty of sleep. We have sold out of the 16-ounce immune gargle that has the nano silver that's patented and documented and even admitted in documents we've shown to go after this whole corona SARS family of viruses. We're almost sold out of the 1-ounce spray bottles. That'll be sold out in a couple days, and we're in about a week and a half or so of the Super Silver 3-ounce bottles. Great to have, period. Really good for your gums. Really great for your teeth. We also have the Super Silver in our whitening toothpaste. Again, we're the only folks allowed to private label or make our own products with this top nanotech company based here in the U.S. that's in all these Homeland Security documents and everything, because we get the best stuff. There's a lot of patriots. There's not just bad guys coming after us. There's the flip side of all the good guys and good gals, and it's very exciting.
There's roughly only 260 days left until the 2020 election, and already you've seen all sorts of crazy things happen. The globalists are trying to plunge the economy. They're trying to start wars. They're trying to overthrow the president. They're trying to silence free speech. They're trying to trigger riots in the streets, but everything they do is blowing up in their face. We the people have to pray, stay focused, be involved, keep spreading the word, keep countering their lies, and we have to be prepared in case things go south. That's why it's so critical to go to InfoWarsStore.com and stock up on high-quality preparedness items, from storable foods, high-quality water filtration and air filtration, to the very best supplements and silver products you're going to find. They're all available at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase there not only ensures high-quality products for you and your family at great prices, but it funds the InfoWar in this critical time. A total, complete, absolute 360 win. Every point of the compass is covered. The only way we can be defeated is if you don't take action. Get high-quality products at InfoWarsStore.com today.
3 weeks ago, we told you that the Pentagon had set up secret quarantine centers for the coronavirus and that they believed it was much more serious than we were being told. Now we know that that is the case. And we know the federal government and major corporations have been buying up all the major storable food supplies around the country. Almost everyone else is sold out. But our supplier, My Patriot, at InfoWarsStore.com, still has their entire line of high-quality, fresh food. And it's fresh. That's why you have to wait 10 to 14 days for it to get delivered. Not because they don't have the food, but because they've got to package it and their factories are going 24 hours a day. High quality, fresh food, the best package systems, tastes great, protects you and your family, and funds the InfoWar. You just got to get the orders in until they extend it out even more, which could happen. Lock in your orders now, ensure you get it at InfoWarsStore.com today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. American dream. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're still talking to Richard Proctor. Again, you can find his books on the Constitution, Saving the Constitution, a detailed analysis of it, line by line, essentially for adults, but also a book for teaching children about the Constitution, The Constitution, If You Can Keep It. You can find both of those at bathroomeconomics.com. He is an expert on both economics and the Constitution. And we were talking on Friday. The reason I had him back was because we got cut off kind of strange in the last segment. As we were getting ready to talk about the Johnson Amendment, we had been talking about the power that the vice president should have as president pro tem of the Senate. You know, the Speaker of the House is number three in terms of line of succession to the presidency. And, of course, the vice president is number two. Both of them in their roles, the Speaker of the House in the House and the vice president as president pro tem of the Senate, they both have the ability under the Constitution to stop bills from coming before the body. And that's not been used. And that is something that is a very important power, that it's just sitting there waiting for somebody to use it. You know, we need to stress the powers of veto and nullification. That's the only way we're going to stop this metastasizing cancer of the federal government, is by using those types of tools. And so in that last segment, I wanted to talk about the Johnson Amendment with Richard. Richard, you said you've had some experience with 501c. Three corporations, and of course the Johnson Amendment is not an amendment to the Constitution, is it? It's something that Lyndon Johnson pushed to as an IRS rule because he wanted to get back at some churches who had opposed him during his reelection campaign.
Yeah, well, let's look at this. Let's look at the history of this a little bit, the 501c3 stuff. Back in the Revolutionary War, they had what they called the Black Regiment. Now, that didn't have anything to do with color of skin. That was to do with the robes of the ministers.
That's right.
And they were the Black Regiment. And these people spoke from the pulpit and encouraged liberty and encouraged people to understand freedom and help them understand these things. It was a political movement from the pulpit. That kind of thing got in the way of laws regularly and re-election things and stuff like that. So Johnson, in his wisdom and in his fairness, decided he wanted to protect the churches from taxes. Oh, yes, let's make sure you're protected. Now, I know that you don't have to pay taxes now, but maybe somebody in the future will cause it so you have to pay taxes. So let's defend you. Let's help you. Let's keep you untaxed. And so they put in the 501c3 as a law now, not a commitment. That's a law. The 501c3 is a paragraph in the IRS code. And so what they said was, if you guys want to be protected, never have to pay taxes, then you join up as a 501c3, and then you'll be protected, and you don't have to ever pay taxes again. Well, they never paid them before, but now they're going to codify it into law, and they did.
Yeah, they turned it into a government-granted privilege.
Right? Yes, that's right. Yeah. And then what happened, you see, is there's just a caveat. Every time the government can give you something, they take something away. It's a part of the deal. Anyway, so what happened is, here we go, and they say, oh, and by the way, since we're giving you that privilege, we will preclude you from talking about anything political. And it immediately evolved into, if a church that's a 501c3 corporation ever says anything negative about any policy of the federal government, period, they can have their 501c3 status stricken. Now, I don't think that's happened, but it's there to happen. It's always a threat. It all hangs over the pulpit, and their free speech, their opportunity to even be free to speak freely, is gone. Now,
well, it's just they can intimidate people from using their freedoms,
and they do it all the time. All the time.
And that's why they take high-profile individuals like Alex Jones and boot them off of social media, just so that you understand that you are being watched, and you better watch yourself. You better police yourself. And that's exactly what they've done. Now, we see liberal politicians going before churches all the time, particularly black churches, and they don't have any problem with that. And so a few years ago, Richard, you know, there was a group called they organized – Pulpit Freedom Sunday. And at first they had, I think it was three different churches they talked specifically about politicians. They said, look, this guy out here is absolutely for unrestricted abortion and this other candidate isn't. And I'm telling you that you need to vote for candidate A and not candidate B. And they taped those messages and sent them to the IRS and said, do something about it. They challenged them under the Constitution. And you know what the IRS did? Nothing. And then that has grown to hundreds to thousands of churches who have been doing that over the last several years. And not a single one of them has ever, they've even called the IRS up and challenged them to knock that chip off their shoulder. And the IRS won't do that.
And that's a good thing they won't, but it is in the law. They can.
Yeah.
They can.
They can, and then that would bring up what they want is a public fight to say you can't control the First Amendment. Because, in the First Amendment, we have not only speech, which is especially political speech. That was what was, when they're talking about speech, that was what was going to be shut down by the government. And then also religious freedom. And of course, as you just point out, religious freedom was at the center of the founding of America, even before the Black Regiment. I mean, people came to America because they wanted to escape religious persecution.
That's right, they wanted to make sure
that there wasn't going to be one denomination or one religion imposed on everybody by a central government. And, they still had established churches at the state level well into the 1840s. You had Massachusetts with an official established church where people gave money to that church.
Yes, we've had those kinds of things. And states aren't beholden to the Constitution. They're beholden to their own constitutions.
That's right.
And they're beholden to the Declaration of Independence also. But the point here is that these people that want to control us always look for ways to do it. It's a control factor, and it's a nose in the tent flap. If I can get one thing, I can get something else, and then something else, and then something else. And it flows in that direction. The Constitution is a document that was ratified in 1788, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change. Contracts don't change. So since it doesn't change, we need to look back at what it is and then bring those things to the foreground. A guy by the name of Hansen, Congressman Hansen, made a statement, and I have it in my books. It's on page 104 of Volume 2. It says, he said, it is impossible to have religious freedom in any nation where churches are licensed to the government.
Yes.
It's impossible to have religious freedom if churches are licensed to the government. And that's exactly what the 501c3 is. And they can dictate, they can tell us. And now we have a lot of people who the law is there, so we're going to follow the law. Now I'm talking about church ministers. And so they say, well, we can't do that because that's what the law says. There was a group of panel of people I just listened to not long ago on the DVD, and these were four people that were talking about 501c3. And they made this ridiculous statement. The church as a whole can't say anything, but the individual pastors can. Now, that's ridiculous. That's not what the 501c3 law is. The church as a whole can't do it, and neither can the pastors. But if they try to, they can have that 501c3 taken. And the importance to that is anytime you make a contribution to a 501c3 organization, it's deductible off of your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, if they lose the 501c3, you then have to pay taxes. Well, now a lot of people pay 10% to their churches, and they take that as a deduction.
And that would be a huge financial penalty because it would attach penalties and interest and that sort of thing on it.
So, on everybody. Yeah, every person in their church, everybody would lose that ability. And the ministers don't want to lose that ability. They don't want to lose that tax benefit.
Yeah, that's how we get regulation without representation, isn't it?
Yes,
through this bureaucracy and through the rules that they put in there.
And this goes, you've got the idea. We've got to get a hold of these things again, and we can do it if we just would.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us again, Richard Proctor. Again, you can find his books at bathroomeconomics.com. Yeah, the real king of this country is the Constitution, and that's what they swore to uphold.
This should really be easier than it is. I'm not here giving you a sales pitch. I'm pointing out the way forward, things that I've discovered that I absolutely know work, that if you will listen to me and try them out for yourself, you will see how amazing it is. And then your support of the product we're selling will help you and will help us, and it's symbiotic. My friends, I harp and harp and harp about iodine because it's the good halogen, fluoride's the bad halogen. And people told me about it for years, and I didn't listen, and I'm so thankful that finally I listened to Dr. Grip like 8 years ago and started taking true iodine, atomic iodine. We've got it back in stock, X2, 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm telling you, folks, get it. It's amazing. Discover the benefits, and it funds the InfoWar, a 360 win. You can't lose unless you don't take action. Well, it's finally happening. The president is coming out and saying the deep state are a bunch of out-of-control criminals that need to be prosecuted, and he has fired over 200 senior bureaucrats in the State Department and the Justice Department in just the last few days. And he took the head prosecutor over Stone and offered her a job at Treasury. As soon as she quit that job, he then withdrew the nomination, and now she's out on her globalist ass. This is beautiful. It's happening, but we need to see a lot more. All the neocons need to be fired. All the Obama appointees, fired. All the deep state globalists who have resumes with George Soros, fired, 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 fired. Trump is finally unleashed. Trump is not the red wave. He is the red storm. And InfoWars is the tip of the spear, powered by we the people, never backing down, never giving in, and delivering victory in our time. Almost all the other big storable food companies are sold out of food. But I know for a fact from sources, they're telling people, oh, we've got it, get your order in, 2 weeks for delivery. We follow this pattern over and over again. I've been on radio for 25 years. I've had storable food for a long time. And I learned very quickly, a lot of these companies, they're fine during normal times. But during a crisis, they don't keep a bunch of food on hand because of inventory. They'll still take your orders. That's why about 11 years ago, I found My Patriot Supply, now the biggest, most trusted company out there. And I became a private labeler for them because they actually have it on hand. They actually give it delivered to you on time. They do what they're going to say they're going to do because they want you as a customer over and over again. And they're good people. Now, they were saying 7 to 10 days before shipping because they've got the food, but they got to package it, record level orders. Now it's 10 to 14 because it's only intensifying with the coronavirus. So get your orders in at InfoWarsStore.com. Get the best deals. Get it delivered first. They're in our system. It goes right to them. Then it funds the InfoWar as well. So get prepared. InfoWarsStore.com with Storable Foods.
Cobra Commander here, reminding you to not own firearms, to not take supplements, to not get sunshine, and to not love Jesus. And, of course, do not get storable foods or any other types of colloidal or nano silver at InfoWarsStore.com. Do not do it. Trust CNN. Trust MSNBC. Drink fluoridated water just like the loving kiss of a king cobra pumping deadly, loving, helpful nutrients into your body. Hug the cobra. Love the cobra. Kiss the cobra. But never, never go to InfoWars.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Do not order those products. Silence Jones now!
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I'm going to tell you about a new outrage out of Virginia. As if we needed another update. I mean, it's just every day there's something else coming out of the Virginia Democrats. They have gone wild because they have cut all restraints from the Constitution and even from common sense. So I'll tell you about this latest one. I mean, it's not just the gun owners. No. These people are totalitarian. There's not a single detail in your life that they don't seek to end or to license or to control. And so now they're coming after art therapy in Virginia. Before we get to that real quickly, I just want to tell you about some of the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have had out of stock for a while our Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink mix, and it's been unavailable for a few weeks because it was out of stock. It is now back in stock. This advanced multivitamin formula gives your body the essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other beneficial compounds it needs for optimum health. And you need to be making your body healthier. That's your best defense against any kind of sickness, whether it is the coronavirus or the flu season or just anything that you come in contact with. Your best defense is going to be a healthy body, a healthy immune system. And so you want to make sure that you've got multivitamins, you've got minerals, amino acids. I like to take my vitamin supplements by a drink format whenever I can, because I don't like to have to swallow a lot of pills. And so the ones that I can get in terms of something that I can do as a drink mix, I'm all for that. And along with that, we have Ultra 12, our vitamin B12 formula. That's also in a liquid form. And that also is the most effective. It is an expensive form of vitamin B12, but it is the most effective form of B12, methylcobalamin. And our Ultra 12 will shock your system and give you the energy that you need. Now, you can get either one of those 40% off, or you can get them together, vitamin mineral fusion drink mix and our Ultra 12 vitamin B12. You can get them 50% off when you purchase them together. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't forget the immune gargle spray. We have that discounted in some sizes, as well as the storable food. You need to make sure that you are prepared for anything, because you never know what is going to be coming your way, natural or man-made. InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. Now, I was talking about Virginia. The latest coming for Virginia, they're going to require a government license for art therapy, because everything is a privilege, right? Work is a privilege. You get a business privilege license because, you know, work is a privilege. Having a business is a privilege. Welfare, on the other hand, is a right. And they're going to give you that welfare by taxing the people who come to them for privileges. Based on a study, Rights Reason magazine, based on a study that cites potential dangers such as sharp edges on scissors, toxic chemicals, and glue. Yeah, don't run with those scissors. State lawmakers in Virginia are on their way to approving a new licensing law to cover art therapists. Now, I'm not even really sure what art therapy is. I don't know how you get there. Is that a therapeutic effect of actually doing art, of making projects or something? Why do you need permission? No word on whether kindergartners will continue to be allowed to use these tools that in the hands of unlicensed adults apparently constitute a risk to public safety. The Virginia State Senate voted, listen to this, unanimously. That means the Republicans were in on this as well. Because, folks, as I pointed out last week, we've got Republicans in the U.S. House that are now pushing their own version of carbon taxes for climate change and so forth. Yeah, it's not taxes. They're going to incentivize certain people, but they've joined into the UN agenda. This, let's plant a trillion trees. And so it's going to cost you money and it's going to cost you freedom. And they're doing things for which they have no authority, no power. And that's Republicans pushing, now signing on to that radical, idiotic climate change agenda, virtue signaling to the electorate. Instead of challenging this, instead of being leaders, they're wetting their finger, sticking it in the air and saying, oh, you know, I'm getting a lot of hot air coming from people like AOC and Bernie Sanders, so I better do something and start talking about carbon this and carbon that. And it is a UN agenda. All of this stuff is a UN agenda. But I mean, specifically the trillion trees, that is a UN agenda. But it's all part of the bigger agenda, the UN 2030 agenda, to lock us into the cities. No more about that. Let's just talk about this art therapy thing that was passed unanimously by the Senate in Virginia this last week. It'll create a new license for art therapists, but it's silent on the requirements of what you have to do to get a license. I'm assuming that it's going to be paying some money to some government agency. Instead, the legislature intends to offload those details to the newly created board. a board that will be staffed primarily by practicing art therapists. So, well, they will then, guess what they will do? They'll put in some requirements that'll make sure that their competition is limited. That's exactly what always happens with these privilege license things. And the other aspect of this that we see being repeated over and over again is the fact that the legislature is going to create this and then leave the details up to this newly created board, right? It's what Nancy Pelosi said about the healthcare thing. Well, we're going to have to pass it to find out what's in it. Everybody thought that was idiotic, that it made no sense, because most people, including virtually all Republican commentators and conservative commentators, even the libertarian, they didn't understand the fact that our country is being run by bureaucrats, the people who write the laws, just as we were talking in the last segment, Richard Proctor, about the Johnson Amendment and so forth. You know, it's the, that was created by the IRS, you know, the bureaucrats of the IRS. They would write the rules. And so what Nancy Pelosi was saying, well, we're going to create this bill, and then we're going to pass that off to a regulatory agency, and they will fill in the details, and we'll find out how this is going to work. Because the legislators, even though they got a bill that is thousands of pages long that they don't read, that doesn't really have any of the details in it. The details are created by an unelected bureaucracy. That's why Rand Paul every year has introduced the RAIN Act, to rein in this unelected bureaucracy that stays there from administration to administration. They write the laws. They call them rules, but they write the laws. And as I pointed out at the beginning of the program, you know, when we talk about people confiscating cash and so forth, they, you know, they are able to take cash because they pretend that it is a violation of a rule. And if it's a violation of a rule, it's not a crime because you didn't break a law. You broke their rule. And if you break their rule, just like when you're dealing with the IRS, you don't get any presumption of innocence, and they can take your property without convicting you of anything. And then you have to sue them in order to get it back. Which brings us to this case in Tampa. Government agents seized $181,500 in cash at the airport, and they won't give it back. This is a Florida trucking company suing two federal agencies because they all work that way now. It's not just the IRS, but it's every agency works that way. Homeland Security and U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. In September, the company gave an employee, Boris Nolman, $191,000 $191,500 and a plane ticket to Cleveland to purchase several big trucks. When the cash in his carry-on bag went through a TSA scanner, the agents pulled it aside for an inspection. He was later allowed to leave, but only with $10,000 of it. Now, why did they do that, right? If it's dirty, why wouldn't they keep all of it? Oh, here, we'll give you 10 and we'll keep the rest of it. He never went to Cleveland to buy the trucks because he only had $10,000, not the nearly $200,000 they started out with. The lawsuit, and listen to this, the lawsuit says an agent gave him a receipt to document the $181,500 that they were keeping. But now the federal agencies say only $159,950 was confiscated. That's $21,550 less than what the company says was seized. So I guess I just kind of walked out the door with some of these TSA agents. Is that what really happened with it? The company said, this is legitimate money. And as I said earlier in the program, if anything in you wells up and says, well, why do you have to pay cash for trucks? Well, the answer to that is why not? What is wrong with that? As a matter of fact, the guy said, look, it's not a crime to do this. This is a common industry practice. The company planned to build its fleet with trucks that were not at a dealer, not at an auction. And the independent owner did not want a bank wire or a cashier's check because of fraud tied to certified checks in Florida. So they had a deal on these things. The guy says, well, I've had a lot of problems with fraud and bank fraud out of checks in Florida. So you come here and give it to me in cash or not at all. You know, the same thing happened in the early 90s to a gardener who they took all of his money from because he was going to pay for it in cash. We got to stop judicial tyranny, don't we?